2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
DFS Army Vegas Lines podcast here for week 12. I'm your host, Al Walsh, for the evening. And, well, I'm Al Walsh all the time, not just for the evening. But joining me, good old friend of mine. You all know him as the Fantasy Football Geek, Kevin Epstein. Kev, how's the Thanksgiving with the fam?
It was great, man. I'm still feeling full from all that turkey. A little tryptophan high going on here.
I asked Keith when we did the basketball podcast today, what did your plate look like during the main course?
What did it look like? I mean, what are we talking? Oh, we're talking like what was on the plate? Like what were
exactly,
we serve?
Yeah. Not like what painting did it look like? Yeah. No, like what?
It looked real sloppy when I was done with it, but now we had turkey and cranberry sauce and, you know, three different kinds of sweet potato things and I don't even know, green beans and cornbread three different ways, gravy. It was classic, very traditional Thanksgiving stuff. Really nice.
Oh yeah, we had the basic. I remember my mom even made an oyster stuffing. And I'm not a seafood guy. I stay the hell away from the seafood, but very basic. Like I had the turkey, the potatoes, the stuffing, corn, and then a nice – I wouldn't necessarily call it a gravy drizzle. It's more like a gravy monsoon that went over the top. So
everything's better.
All sorts of pies afterwards.
Everything's better with gravy, by the way. I pour it on
sure
the stuffing.
Is.
I pour it on everything. I love a gravy.
You know, and we're from the same region, so the French fries with the gravy and mozzarella cheese, that's it's a diner staple in the area.
What are you, at the TikTok diner over on Route 3 and by the Meadowlands over there, getting the greasy gravy fries.
there's some good stuff. The Monte Cristo. There's all sorts of good stuff at the diners here. But you know, we will leave the Thanksgiving talk at the door, and you know, it is time for week 12 of the football season. It got off to a great start on Thursday yesterday. So we had that very exciting game there with the Vikings and the Lions, and then that awesome shootout between the Redskins and the Cowboys, and then the Colts and the Steelers played a football game. And, you know, it was not exactly the finish to football that we were looking for, but I thought a very good day overall.
I always like it when the day goes exactly as I thought it would. And that's kind of how it went yesterday. I mean, you know, the exciting game was Dallas at the Redskins. The Vikings game was actually good. It wasn't a fantasy points bonanza or anything like that, but it was a close game. It was well contested and it went low scoring as I thought it would. So, you know, then the last game went exactly as I thought, a complete ass whipping by the Steelers. Obviously, you know, give Tolzien credit. J.R.R. Tolzien, as I like to call him, the
author, right?
Yeah, the author and also backup quarterback for the Colts. You know, he did the best he could given the circumstances. He's barely new. We didn't even know that this guy was going to be playing until like Tuesday. You know, so Thursday game, there's no time to prepare. He did the best he could, but you knew it was going to be a slaughter. Just going in, I was the only thing that crushed me was, based on that game script, you would have expected Le'Veon Bell to get the ball in the fourth quarter, not Ben Roethlisberger throwing that last bomb, you know, to Brown, just to kind of mess up the whole plan. So outside of that one thing, which really probably cost me a lot of money, like a ridiculous amount of money.
So I had a ridiculous set of circumstances. Now, me, I roll out one lineup pretty much all the time. I've been chastised by many for it. But the way I look at it, I don't like losing money. I feel like if you're going to do multiple, you're kind of taking a loss somewhere. I don't know. That's just my ridiculous personality, so that's why I do it. But I ended up take, you know, going for the whole damn thing, and I faded Antonio Brown on the slate because I was like, you know what, they don't even need to throw the ball to him. It's not even necessary. No. So in the Army Fantasy League, I went against Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, and then in my hometown league, I went against Kirk Cousins and Jordan Reed. So not a happy Thanksgiving.
Don't go against Kirk Cousins. I stand by my call and my assumption to favor Le'Veon Bell over Brown in the game. Brown didn't. He got 5 receptions. The problem was there was so little resistance that, you know, 3 of the 5 were long touchdown catches. So, you know, if those touchdowns are sort of highly variable, I stand by the call. I still had an awesome day and another very profitable Thanksgiving slate. That is a streak. I think that goes back to the beginning of when I start. For some reason, I love the Thanksgiving slate. I've not lost money on it ever. And that goes back to from the first time I've ever seen a Thanksgiving slate. And years ago, not that long, but a few years. And this one was awesome. Doubled up on my GPP entries and all of that. It was great. But it was going to be a very special day if Le'Veon Bell got that last drive. He just needed a few more points, or just to really avoid Brown getting that last touchdown. It was going to be pretty mm-hmm. special. So, yeah, it is what it is. We move on to the weekend.
Yes, always a good time out there on the landscape. So, you know, let's just get right into it. I get the first game here that we got on the slate is the San Diego Chargers at the Houston Texans. Interestingly enough, the Texans opened up the week as a 1-point favorite. Currently, as we do this podcast here on Friday night, the Chargers are a 2-point favorite. So we got a 3-point swing there for all you mathematicians. And we've got the Chargers as a 130 favorite on the money line. Over-under opened up at 47, just dropped down a tick to 46.5. Nothing really out of the ordinary with the bets. Maybe, I guess, I don't really pay attention to how many people are betting on the total necessarily, but 95% of the bets so far are on the over for this game.
What
is the main play for you in this game?
Well, we'll start with like looking at these two defense. Both of these teams defensively are very, very similar. Mm-hmm. Nothing special. Neither one of them are scary. Both are a little bit better against the pass than against the run. So you have San Diego ranked 9th overall against the pass, 17th against the run. You have Houston 11th versus the pass, 18th versus the run. So two very similar teams. So, you know, the first thing I'm looking at is Melvin Gordon, right? It's pronounced Gordon. love that dude. Been riding him. This is week 2. Why get off the train? He's in a great spot here. There's no competition for touches. Who I don't like, sometimes you look at who I don't like. You know, I don't say I hate him, but Terrell the Gazelle, not in as good of a spot as he's been the last few weeks. One thing about Houston is they're pretty good against that number one wide receiver. And so, you know, they're ranked 9th overall. They've got a ranked 6 overall against the number one wide receiver, and I think Terrell is the number one. So it's more about – I'm kind of not so high on Terrell in this game just because Houston's really good at stopping that number one wide receiver. They're very, very good at stopping enemy tight ends, which sort of has me off of any idea of playing Antonio Gates or Henry Hunter. Hunter Henry.
Been a while since we heard from –
Yeah, Hunter. You know, he's a story for next year or when Gates gets hurt again, I think. But in this case, you don't really want to play Gates against the number 3 overall defense against tight ends. It's not really something that stands out to me as something that we should be doing. So the play really for me is Gordon or bust on San Diego.
Okay. Going to be interesting to see. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the other side, you know, on the Houston side, you know, it's Lamar Miller. I mean, it's hard to trust DeAndre Hopkins at all. And so I just, you know, as much as he's at home, I've been burned too many times by the Hopkins trains. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look like a dope to a lot of my friends and you know, in my hometown, because, you know, oh, you're the fantasy guy. We'll ask you some, you know, we'll ask for your advice. So I had a friend and a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. I said, listen, I know you're really excited about Ezekiel Elliott, but I mean, I think you got to go with one of these receivers here, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, my big thing was, hell, he had five different quarterbacks throwing to him last year. So why wouldn't, or why would one quarterback hurt him? And that's exactly what's been the case. You know, in the beginning of the season, there was kind of a love affair going on between Osweiler and Will Fuller. That's diminished as well. Now he seems to love these tight ends in his offense. So, yeah, I mean,
could just be that Osweiler. I mean, maybe Osweiler really, really sucks. I have this theory that it's a very tough offense to pick up, the Bill O'Brien offense. I have sort of this theory that they just haven't clicked yet. I mean, it's one of two things. Either Osweiler is terrible, which is very possible. We don't have any evidence to indicate otherwise. He's never played well. Like he doesn't even have the Scott Mitchell. You remember Scott Mitchell?
I do. Lefty Lions.
Remember him? So he was on some other team first. I don't remember where he came in. Miami, I think, right? And
Was it Miami?
Yeah. So he has one good game, and you know he's a backup quarterback. He has one good game. And people get infatuated with the backup quarterback. All of a sudden, our boy, I believe it was Matt Millen at the time that was the GM of the Lions. Matt Millen, right? He picks him up.
Author of many, quote-unquote, we'll just say many moves from the Lions.
Many terrible moves, right? So he was the worst. It's okay to rip on that. He was terrible. And he brings in Scott Mitchell. And it turns out Scott Mitchell sucks. They paid him a lot of money. They gave him a couple of years, and he sucked. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Osweiler, but I mean, I haven't seen anything to indicate that he doesn't suck. It just might take some time. So you got to give him, you know, if I'm a Houston Texan fan, I'm giving him the year, and I'm probably stuck with him next year too. So I'm hoping, but you know, who knows? And so Hopkins to me, yeah, he's in a pretty good spot. Fuller's finished. You know, he hasn't been a part of the offense almost at all. So Hopkins almost had a big play last week, and he will have a big game one of these weeks. And his salary's come down enough, but it's GPP only. Like, there's no way I'm touching that dude in cash.
You wanted me to just riff on Millen. I thought you were being a little generous there to Hopkins' price. So you said it's come down. It's at 6,300 on DraftKings. That's ridiculous.
I mean, he started, you know, a lot higher than that. So in fairness. But I mean, he's below Doug Baldwin. He's right by Emmanuel Sanders. Like, if I had to look at this spot here where he's priced, yeah, he's 6,300. But I'm taking Hopkins over Emmanuel Sanders. I'm taking Hopkins probably over Brandon Marshall. And I just talked about Terrell, how I'm not so excited about him. Rishard Matthews. Like, there's not that much excitement in this salary range. I'm probably taking Michael Thomas or Kelvin Benjamin or Julian Edelman or Cooks over him. But, I mean, he's in this range where, like, you know, DraftKings is tough this week. DraftKings is tough this week. It is – FanDuel, again, very soft. I'll just say a general opinion here. But FanDuel, very soft pricing. DraftKings, very, very evil and mean people over there. Do not want to make it easy to make lineups.
Hey, you know what? At least they don't make your roster kicker.
Yeah, there's that. Lamar Miller, though, is in play here. Lamar Miller. So I like the running backs on both sides of this game, but for the most part, it's not one of the games that I'm super excited about this week.
Since you're not excited about either offense, is any defense in play here?
No. Can't play either one of these defenses here. I mean, Rivers isn't going to turn the ball over. He's not the kind of the Chargers are not the team you want to target a defense against. And I'm going to play home defenses almost exclusively, unless there's some special situations, of which there are a couple this week, and we'll get to those pretty soon. But normally, no, unless the home team looks really good, I'm not going to play them.
Fair enough. I got one more question. I know a lot of people have been wondering about him, but CJ Fedorowicz, where will you land on him?
Yeah, I mean, he's in play. I'm just going to put it like there. I don't use Fedorowicz a ton, but San Diego – they're not special against tight ends, which means he's playable. And Fedorowicz has done pretty good this season. He's put up decent numbers every single week. He's not a stud. He's not going to get you more than – like his ceiling is about 15 points. But he's getting averaging about 7 targets a game. You can't ignore it. And if you need to play someone for cheap, he is one of the guys that's definitely on the radar.
All right. This game's kind of interesting here. With the Tennessee Titans at the Chicago Bears. Titans open up the week as 2-point favorites. However, they jump up a field goal to 5 once news that Jay Cutler is not going to be in this game. I think he's out for the season, right, Jay Cutler?
There's differing reports right now. It's not for sure, but I think he's done as a Bear. Why would they bring him
back?
Why would they bring him back? He's finished.
Off into the sunset with your lady, my man.
Oh, my God. Is she so hot? I don't blame that guy for not giving a fuck. I really don't.
You know who the real screw-up here? Steven. He had his chance with her. He blew it.
Wait. Don't tell me. Don't tell me you watched the MTV show with Kristen Cavallari.
I was not a watcher, but everybody knew.
I was a Lauren fan myself. I was always a –
Okay.
I'm a Lauren fan.
She's still relevant out there on the internet. I always see these ads on the internet, get life tips from Lauren. No, I'm good. I'll pass on that.
I don't want her life tips, but, you know, I always thought she was the hotter one of the two. Is that crazy?
She is. She's a sneaky one. Like, if you like good girls, you can go with Lauren. But if you're like me and you like to live life dangerously – Cavallari's where it's at.
Cavallari was definitely the badass. Yeah, she was the. Indeed. Yeah, she was. I don't blame Jay Cutler for not giving a fuck. As I said, I mean, this guy is just going home. All he's thinking about at practice is, I can't wait to get home. Kristen's waiting for me. She's probably wearing like a crazy lingerie outfit. Like, what this guy really is thinking about football? Come on.
Well, not that anything is wrong with Jay's line of thinking there. That's perfectly normal.
No, you gotta care about the game, man. You gotta care about the game.
Wow, I guess. He's not the only one in the NFL with the hot wife either. We'll leave that where it needs to be. But the total in this game did open up at 45.5, dropped all the way down to 42 in this one. Whether that's a product of the Windy City or Cutler being out of the lineup, we shall see. But this game is interesting in the fact that it looks like Tennessee can have a great offensive day. They look like they can move the ball up and down the field on Chicago, but that's not what Vegas is saying.
Well, I mean, Vegas isn't even I think Vegas is wrong in terms – they're giving – when the away team – well, let's put it like this. When the visiting team is -5, I mean, the only thing that's going for the Bears right now is that they're at home. That's it. Matt Barkley is not an NFL quarterback. He is terrible. And I love a backup quarterback, but this guy is not backup caliber either. He's the worst. He's worse than J.R.R. Tolzien. He's worse than he's probably the worst backup quarterback we're going to see this year outside of the Jets if they bust out with, like, Hackenberg later in the season. Now, that guy is worse than Barkley, but outside of that, this is going to be one of the least – the crazy thing about Barkley is he's been around the NFL as a third stringer for a bunch of years, so at least he has that going for him. But he's terrible. So really, I'm looking at this game and think – and they don't have Alshon Jeffrey and, you know, Eddie Royal is hurt and their tight end, the one of
Zach
the
– Miller, few, yeah.
He's gone. I mean, it's – who's playing on this team? Cameron Meredith? Eddie Royal and a bunch of people you've never heard. Jordan Howard. I mean,
I think I saw an email in my inbox for a tryout this weekend, but I deleted it automatically.
Marky Mark is over there trying out for the team, as the quarterback. So this is a real disaster. You know, Chicago, here's what happens late in the season. These teams start to give up. You know, if you're on the Bears defense, and the Bears, I'm not even looking at their defensive numbers for this game because they're going to quit. They're going to quit this season. They're probably going to quit this game. So this defense, they're not going to play hard knowing that they're losing, knowing that they suck, knowing that they have no chance of even winning a game. They're going to come out. They'll play tough for the first half, and then they're going to quit. And so, you know, I'm looking at that and thinking, all right, how does that benefit? Like, who does that – obviously the Titans – defense is something I'm very excited to use on the road, even though I don't normally do that. Play road defenses in this case, yeah. You know, just like yesterday with the Steelers defense, yeah, you're gonna play them on the road because that guy's gonna be heaving up. They're gonna be down in the game, and Barkley's just going to be heaving up bombs to Titans defensive backs. And they're just going to be catching interceptions and hopefully taking one of them back for a touchdown. So, yeah, Titans defense here. You got to like – I mean, the prime names on the Titans team, you have Mariota, who's been on fire. You're wondering how much they're going to need him, but he's been on fire. Rishard Matthews, the primary wide receiver. You have but really the primary player is Delanie Walker. Bears have been shit against tight ends, so Walker is definitely a solid play. And DeMarco Murray. You know, they don't really – my one fear with Murray is because he has the toe and because Tennessee probably takes an early lead and, you know, they might bring in the backup running back who, you know, in the second half. We've seen the Titans do that, so that's a risk with Murray in this game.
Yeah, you know what's kind of crazy is that Henry, the backup, he's actually priced like a somewhat normal running back. You know, he's not even down at the bottom of the price, so – you know, it's not like I doubt you like you would even take a chance with him anyway, but
no, and I think he'll get
that were the case.
No, I think he'll get run, but no, I'm not using him. He would have to be, I mean, for that play to work, it would take a miracle, and then he's not cheap enough to even, you know, if he brings you 12 points, it's like, eh, you know, like if he was 3,000, he brought you 14 points, and you're going to win the league because great, but in this case, he's not cheap enough to really make that a worthwhile play at all. So now it just more tells me to stay away from DeMarco Murray or be cautious with DeMarco Murray because his ceiling may be capped by a blowout. And and outside of that, I mean, Tennessee defense is the one I'm most excited to use here. I will not touch anything to do with Chicago. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No need. No need. And interestingly enough, we were just talking about Derrick Henry. He's only $100 cheaper than Jordan Howard. How do you like them apples?
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Now, how about I can get Jeremy Hill or Terrence Williams. Like, Jeremy Hill is getting the full complement of touches in a bad matchup. I can get Deion Lewis, who's going to be playing with I can get Carlos Hyde. You know, there are names that will get a full complement of touches.
Right.
You know, in that similar – so, yeah, don't use Hunter.
Oh, yeah, I was not advocating that at all. It was just something that I noticed last week. I was like, what? No, can't be.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, 5,200 is ridiculous on DraftKings.
Yeah, this is not Alabama where both running backs get carries. Again, it's going to be the Tennessee onslaught, it looks like. I love the Tennessee defense play in this game.
If I was betting this game, I would bet the under. And I would still take Tennessee with the -5.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, that 42 on the total just does not look appealing whatsoever. And this is one of the few exceptions to the case. I forgot to mention this too, but 93% of the bets right now are on Tennessee at -5. And typically you like to run the other way when you see a number like that. I don't even think anything like that would matter this week. It's just, this is a real sweet spot for the Titans.
I think the line's going to move that. Not with the backup quarterback for Chicago. I just don't see any path to victory for them. Yeah, I could be wrong, but I don't see a path.
Doubtful.
Or even covering the 5-point spread. I'm like, how are they covering that spread? How are they going to score even once? It's going to be shocking.
Yes. All right. We'll go up to upstate New York for this one, where the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to the Buffalo Bills. Spread here is at 7.5 in favor of the Bills. Opened up at 7. Not much movement there. Interesting to note, though, the Bills are 350 favorites on the money line. Pretty high total. One of the highest of the week. Just as a barometer, it's actually the same number that New England is favored against the Jets this week. We have a total of 45 in this one. It opened up at 47, so a 2-point drop in that end. And there are 80% of the bets right now are on Jacksonville with that, even with that high of a number.
No, are they betting Jack? They're betting Buffalo.
Yeah. I've been really impressed with this Bills defense lately, especially from a fantasy perspective. They've been putting up a lot of points every now and again. So, I mean, what a better spot to go against the turnover machine himself, Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles does turn it over a lot. So, I mean, here, looking at this game, yeah, Buffalo defense, you know, one of the first things I look for when I'm choosing a defense is – a team that's favored by a lot at home. And that's why it's hard this week. There aren't that many of those. But, yeah, Buffalo is one of those situations. Bortles is an interception machine. He's not quite Ryan Fitzpatrick level, but he's pretty bad about throwing a lot of interceptions, and especially on the road. The one concern I have with Buffalo is they really, outside of McCoy, they've lost a lot of their offensive players, especially the wide receiver position. You know, I'm not sure if Woods is going to play here. I don't think so. He's out, right? Sammy Watkins probably isn't going to play. So it's like, who's he going to throw to on this team? You know, there's not a lot of wide receivers left. Marquise Goodwin, you know, he's not really good at all. So
right.
There's not a lot of options for this Buffalo offense to move the ball, except for one guy, LeSean McCoy. Even LeSean McCoy, by the way, he doesn't have, Gillis Lee is out. So there's, you know, Reggie Bush is backing him up, whatever, you know, so basically he's old.
Ring right? endorsement.
He's old, right? He's old.
Yeah.
I don't like old running backs like that. So, I mean, what I'm saying is McCoy's going to get a lot of touches here, and the Jaguars are pretty generous to opposing running backs. So McCoy is one of my favorite plays on the slate, even though this is a low-total game. If Buffalo – I like the idea of stacking Buffalo defense with McCoy or just rolling McCoy out there as a core play. For the Buffalo side, I don't really like anyone else. I can't trust – these no-name wide receivers for the Bills, and I don't really trust Tyrod Taylor, who I haven't used even once this whole season in a fantasy lineup.
Wow.
I haven't used him once. Very strange for me, but I have not used him.
I used him in a small dollar 1 o'clock lineup last week for shits and giggles.
Did you? Yeah, in small dollar. All right, there it is.
And it was in the same one where I had McCoy, too. So.
I'm sure it went terrible if that was the week they played
it
Cincinnati.
Did.
Yeah.
Small dollar, though, so I'm not eating ramen all week at
least. That's good. But but yeah, I haven't used him all season for whatever reason, so I don't have a great feel for him. He's actually had a couple of nice games, surprisingly, but not without Robert Woods or Sammy Watkins. He's got no weapons. So really, I think it's going to be the running game. Now, on the flip side, yes, Bill's defense looks good, but, you know, the Jaguars – they do one thing. They throw it to Allen Robinson. So, I mean, if you need...
Or the other team.
Yeah, well, you know, he throws it, and sometimes Allen Robinson gets it, and sometimes opposing defensive backs. But you know, so those things don't really hurt. The interceptions, how many... This guy has got a ton. I mean, Bortles, every single game, average this season, 2 interceptions. Is that right? 1.5 interception on average. So this guy basically... Every single game, especially on the road, he just throws interceptions, and a lot of them. But that said, he also, you know, throws them to Allen Robinson. So the Bills don't really stand out as a team that stops the opposing WR1 all that well. So while this would not be a core play, and I don't like this idea that Bortles had a shoulder issue coming out of last week's game, like – that you never want to hear that about a quarterback that you're using.
Right.
So, you know, I don't like that, but I think Bortles will throw a lot. And so maybe Allen Robinson, like a GPP, is not going to be somebody I like a lot. That's for sure. But I hope he does well because I have him on my season long teams.
Yeah. Always need that.
Yeah. You got to throw that.
Yeah. I mean, there really aren't a whole lot. I saw the stat last week about Buffalo giving up the most points to wide receiver ones in
well, not the
entire
most,
league.
Did no? I don't. Let me look here. Hang on. Let's get the actual.
Well, I think it was going into last week, and then you know they got a 0 last week for AJ Green's performance, so it probably brought it down a bit.
Maybe it improved them. Were they the worst? Was that? Let me see here. Let's get a look.
I remember reading Buffalo. It. I believe it was on Fantasy Labs where I read that.
Really?
Yeah.
Number one, let's see. You know what? It could be right. Could be right. Let's see. Buffalo, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that. They're the worst in the league, even after the 0. against the WR1.
That's unfortunate.
So,
or did all those Tyler Boyd numbers circulate to wide receiver one?
No, you're right. They are the worst according to DVOA versus number one wide receivers. So I knew I had read that, yeah, they weren't great, but here they are, the worst, or I had researched it. They're the worst against. So, I mean, yeah, think about that and think about the fact that Allen Robinson will not be highly owned because a lot of people are going to play Buffalo defense and everybody's kind of looking at this game that way. And maybe that's a good, smart, contrarian GPP move to put sure. in Allen Robinson because Buffalo clearly cannot stop opposing number one wide receivers. Who knew? There it is.
Yeah, and kind of like, I mean, not that Kansas City was worst against number one wide receivers, but same kind of situation last week where everybody was on the Kansas City defense. And I said, you know what, you know, especially with Peters out, you know, and, you know, a couple of guys banged up in the Kansas City defense. Hey, you know what? Why not? We'll take a shot at it. And Evans, you know, just missed 20 points. So it, crazier things have happened before.
Yeah, Evans is playable every week. When a guy gets 18 targets a game, I mean, you could play him. I don't care who he's playing against. You could play
him. That's true. And he's got a shot. Week two against Patrick Peterson was kind of a, oh, okay. Matchups aren't a big deal.
Okay. Yeah, he did okay against that too. That's what I'm saying. Right? Because he's got 18. I mean, he didn't have a big game. The problem is, I need more than 20 points out of Evans.
Yeah.
Like, that's not enough. And that's really a ceiling for, like, when he's being covered by a Peterson or a Sherman or one of these top guys, like this week, he's going to be covered by Richard Sherman. Do I really want to take Evans? I know he has a shot at 20 points, but I kind of need 30 points out of Evans if I'm going to win my GPP.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And in all fairness to Evan, he almost had a touchdown. It got knocked away as he was going to the ground. So
I did see that.
My boy, you never my boy know. Is all right. My boy is all right.
He's
good player. No need to fret with him. All right. Moving along to Baltimore. Nice AFC North division rivalry here. With the Cincinnati Bengals, who just lost two of their key offensive players, head into Baltimore. The Ravens are 4-point favorites in this. Line opened up as 3 in favor of Baltimore, so a point jump up there. They are -205 favorites on the money line. And we've got a very undesirable total of 40.5 for this game. I almost threw up in my mouth. 70% of the bets are on the Ravens at -4, and 72% of the bets are on the Ravens money line there at 205. 69% of the bets on the under in this game. So division games get wild. We know this. You know, Cincinnati kind of has to learn how to deal without AJ Green and Gio Bernard this week. Tyler Boyd was a guy that really stepped up big time. Cincinnati season's pretty much over. I mean, they really couldn't have afforded that loss that they had last week. And now, you know, I don't know how they're going to rebuild their season, but what are you seeing from this one?
Yeah, it looks bad for the Bengals here. They're, you know, they are not really a team that could afford to lose AJ Green. I guess the good thing for them, and I'm not so worried about the Gio Bernard. They have Hill, so the Bernard loss doesn't really affect anything. The thing is, this is a tough game anyway. They're on the road against Baltimore, a number one overall rushing defense in the league, very good against the pass, very good at home, division opponent, all the kind of things that make you think this is going to be a low-scoring game regardless. I mean, the Bengals have they don't really have a replacement for Green at wide receiver. They're going to roll out Boyd and Brendan LaFell. I mean, these guys are – LaFell is not a good player. He's just – He defines Jag. And I mean, he couldn't even do that well with Brady.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady. I mean, like, he was dropping balls. So he's
you
not
just run into passes when Tom's throwing them. That's how it goes.
You only have to be terrible to be awesome with Tom Brady. And so I'm like, he's not going to do it. And, you know, Boyd makes for an okay, interesting sort of like a punt play for cheap. And he's in a good position in the slot against Baltimore. If, like, you could take advantage of their pass defense, maybe it's the slot. But really? And
do you see a lot of people going that way with Boyd?
I think he'll be overused this week just because he's a player still cheap, thrust into a sort of role where he'll have more targets. Here's an interesting one. So you're really kind of looking at this game going, you know, the best player on the Bengals offense is Tyler Eifert at this point. So let's take a look at Baltimore's defense against – oh, number one overall against the tight end position. Shit. Yeah, exactly. No, thank you. So you're literally talking about the best team in the league at stopping tight ends. What are you going to do with that? Like, you know, so you can't play Eifert. This is a tough matchup, regardless, for the Bengals on the road. I just would not touch this game at all. Stay away from it. Ravens defense in play. On the Ravens side, I mean, Steve Smith Sr., always playable. The Cincinnati defense, not great at anything. Probably going to quit at some point during this game. So I was going to say more names, but it's really only Steve Smith Sr. He's the only guy I like on that team. So that would be the only wide receiver play. Not on FanDuel, not on DraftKings, but maybe on FanDuel. I played him last week because he was ridiculously low priced on FanDuel, 5,700. A crime to price him that low. This week he's still low at 6,300. And, you know, Triple S, man, that guy's the man. Heading to the Hall of Fame. Might as well get a piece of him while he's still around.
I've got a very interesting one here. I might catch a little bit of heat from you for even mentioning this guy, but I've picked him up in both season-long leagues. And the Bengals have said that they have enormous confidence in this guy to pick up the role left by Gio Bernard, that Rex Burkhead. And
oh my God.
They don't go to Jeremy Hill a lot. You know, they use Gio Bernard in a variety of different formations. They'll line him up at wide out to go for screen passes and whatnot.
No.
I mean,
no.
This week, and I'm saying, hold on. This week, no, not in play. Certainly not. But I'm not going to be surprised at all if down the line they use him, you know, in a game where they're totally getting their ass kicked and he can find, you know, a couple of these garbage time touches. Because I guarantee you next week he's going to be minimum price again. And that might be a guy that we can go to in the near future.
Well, you know, I'm not confident in that, but we'll see.
I like to think ahead. I know this week is a tough one to do it, but
I don't see why they don't use Hill in the full. It doesn't make any sense why they don't use Hill to me in the full workload back role for that team. Hill can catch. I don't think it's going to go that way. Rex Burkhead, he's white. Mm-hmm. Like a glass of milk.
We can catch the ball too.
No, he can't run. He doesn't have quickness. No. He's like what do you call him? I haven't seen too many guys who look like him who are going to be great, shifty. You know, I mean, he's no Danny Woodhead. Basically, he'd have to be Danny Woodhead, and there's only one Danny Woodhead.
Ah. Hey, look, when the Bengals sees – I mean, I feel like it's already in the shitter, but – I think when they get there, it might be the Burkhead show.
It could
be. Catching the ball.
And so he's worth a stash on the bottom of your season-long bench, but don't waste your money on a DraftKings lineup.
Exactly.
please. Don't
all right, so you mentioned Triple S for the Ravens.
Ravens defense, Triple S. Boom. And if you have a hankering, if you're glutton for punishment, you know, Jeremy Hill is really cheap. But I wouldn't use it, not against the number one defense.
Definitely not. I mean, we saw what they just did to Zeke Elliott last week. I mean, he did have a couple decent plays there, but overall, no, not a good day.
No.
All right. We have a little West Coast East coming here. We all know about the 1 o'clock game for the West Coast and how difficult it is. We see it here with the Arizona Cardinals going to the ATL. Falcons opened up as 4.5-point favorites in this game. They are now at 6, minus 240 on the money line. They are favored, and we've got the total at 50. And interestingly enough, this is the only game on the slate that touches the 50 mark on the total. So nothing really sticks out from the spread percentages either. But – you know, it's basically now or never for Arizona. It might have been never now or never a while ago for them. But if they want to have any chance of saving their season, they got to do something on Sunday.
You know, I'll look at a couple things. So, first of all, Atlanta defense, not good. Arizona defense, good. So those are things to know. Arizona's 3-9, respectively, pass and rush. So they're very, very good against the pass. They're really good against the rush. Not as good, though, as against the pass. And then the Falcons are just bad across the board. 22nd against the pass, 28th against the rush. The notable defensive things are just the you have Desmond Trufant, who is a shadow corner. I expect him to shadow, and he's a shadow corner that will follow a player into the slot. So most likely he'll be put on Fitzgerald. And obviously Patrick Peterson is probably going to be shadowing Julio Jones. So that's the important sort of notes for the game. Interesting. You know, I'm hearing a lot of talk about Carson Palmer having his, like, Peyton Manning decline. Mm-hmm. This year, like, maybe he's shot. I don't know. I'm not sure. He hasn't looked quite as bad. He hasn't looked quite Peyton Manning-esque. I don't want to use that. You know, it's a shame. I love Peyton Manning. He's a great player in his day. But in his last year, for example, last season, we all saw, and we didn't want to believe it, we saw this decline, and we kept saying, you know, maybe this will be the game that he has a good day and whatever. But it never happened because he was completely shot, and there was no coming back from that. And, you know, the logs for Palmer don't really – they're not as bad as what Peyton Manning showed. I don't fully agree that he's that terrible. But here's the thing.
No, I wouldn't think that at all. No,
I mean, I have
my own thoughts, but we'll get to them.
I don't think he's completely shot. I don't know what you've seen, but I'm hearing like, is he done? Is he? I don't think it's quite there. I don't know what's been the problem with the Cardinals' offense, or maybe I have my own theory, which is they can't settle on number 2, 3, and 4 wide receivers. Like they can't seem to figure out that whole thing. Because I looked at some of the target reception numbers for these guys. So I was trying to figure out, all right, if Trufant is on Fitzgerald, who are they going to throw to? You know, Atlanta, you could put up big plays on them. They're not a great defense. So I started thinking John Brown. John Brown hasn't had a reception in, like, weeks. You know, Mike Floyd, 5 targets last week, not impressive. Yeah, J.J. Nelson, he seems to be falling out of favor. So I have no idea. I have no idea who the alternate wide receiver is here.
I feel – all right, so back to Palmer real quick. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't have, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 300-yard game. I mean, Palmer's still throwing for a ton of yards. That's not the – he's had one game last week where he had 198 yards passing, and then against the Jets he had 213, but they really didn't need to throw the ball that much. There was a really brutal schedule, or really brutal stretch of schedule for the Cardinals here. So go back to the game against your boys, against the Jets, that Monday night game. They play that game, really easy game, come around on a short week, and then they have the Seattle Seahawks. That's when they play that 6-6 brutal tie.
Oh.
Now, that game could have been won by both sides a number of times, but let's just for this argument's sake, let's just say the Cardinals could have won that game twice on easy kicks. The following week, they have to go all the way across the country to Carolina. You know, they for a 1 o'clock game, they get smoked. They got to come all the way back to Arizona.
But by the
next
way,
week.
But he puts up good numbers. You know, Palmer puts up 3 touchdowns that week. A big play to J.J. Nelson, if I remember correctly. Like he put up big numbers that week. So.
Yeah,
I had J.J. Nelson, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in general, Palmer's just not getting the benefit of the doubt because they're not, you know, producing the wins. But, yeah, I mean, you know, they've played some tough teams, and, you know, they're not exactly in the easiest division in football. And, you know, it's just been a brutal schedule and of travel and matchups. So
this is just
I'm
a
not
tough
worried
year,
about it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just tough year situation. I don't know, yeah. Because their defense is good. They're a great defensive team.
Absolutely. And Palmer is getting old, too. Not, like, old for the earth, like football old. But, I mean, he's in a very interesting spot here. 5,300 on DraftKings. That is ridiculously cheap for a guy like this. Going against, you know, a defense that's given up a ton of points. But, you know, I'm looking at the DVP here, and I'm looking at the spread for this game. And you look at, you know, Arizona for this one. All their positions are in, like, the good color. Like, we'll just say they're in the green colors. And then Atlanta's in, like, all red colors for their DVP. And it's like, really? So these guys are a 6-point favorite, huh? Okay, that's interesting. I don't necessarily see Atlanta, like, winning this game at all, to tell you the truth. I think Arizona could win this one outright.
Definitely possible. I think Arizona, going into the season, I thought they were the best team in the NFC. So, you know, shame on me for thinking that. But they seem like the total package.
You're not the only one. Everybody thought they were going to the Super Bowl this year.
I mean, David Johnson's been unbelievable, too. There's so many things going right for the Cardinals. It's just weird that the wins and losses haven't come together for them. But, you know, again, the hardest part from a fantasy prognostication point of view, obviously we love David Johnson. He is the chalk this week. He's going to be, you know, people are going to be – he's the guy you want to get in your lineup. He's the chalk play. You know, he's number one as far as, like, the Le'Veon Bell played already. You know, like, David Johnson's the guy. So we love him. And I still like Larry Fitzgerald, even though – Trufant's going to be on him just because I think Fitzgerald is good enough to beat a player like Trufant. Like I don't think a Trufant is going to shut down Larry Fitzgerald. It's very tough to shut him down. He's a big dude. He's got old man strength. You know, he's a very strong wide receiver, and he's got the best hands of any wide receiver probably that's ever played. So you ain't shutting him down. But I really was hoping to figure out who that second wide receiver was going to be, who's going to be that guy who catches the long bomb pass. And, you know, I thought it was Mike Floyd, you know, kind of doing my write-up. And I've gone back and forth on it. I'm really not confident. I can't figure it out. I need a blurb or something out of Arizona
David Johnson.
To figure this out. Yeah, right? It's just like, fuck it, go play David Johnson and don't worry about it. So, yeah, but Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson – you know, I guess based on your theory, Palmer Stack is a possibility here, you know, in a GPP kind of situation because no one will be on him. He'll have very low ownership and he's very cheap. Looking at the other side of the equation, so the big question is Julio Jones. What do we do with Julio Jones? We're going to play Julio against Patrick Peterson. Can Julio smoke Peterson to the level he needs to in order? Now, again, this is a high scoring game. So normally you want to be all over this game, but it's a tough one. Like this is why I'm leaning towards the Raiders game, because that one, it's very easy for me to figure out where I want to go with it. This one's tough.
Yeah.
So like, do I want to play Julio? I'm not sure. You know, he's going to be covered by the best cornerback in the league. And yeah, Julio could beat this guy, but is he going to beat him enough to get me value for his $9,000 DraftKings? Let me see what the number is. $8,500 DraftKings salary. I mean, that's a lot. That's just under Odell Beckham, one of the higher ones on the, you know, second highest on the slate. He's got to bring you four times salary to make GPP value. That's 8, 16, 24, 32, 34. 34 fantasy points from Julio Jones in order for him to really deliver what he needs to. I think he's going to have a tough time doing that in all but the, you know, most intensive GPP plays. As a matter of fact, he hasn't been bringing 35 points at all, he hasn't been hitting those numbers this season.
What about – I mean, obviously, Mohamed Sanu has basically gotten in his car and driven off the side of the cliff, but it's been Tyler Gabriel that has really stepped up, and it's not even the volume. It's just he's hitting big plays for this team. I don't know, like, where do you fall on quote-unquote big play guys?
I mean, you know, these are GPP on NSFC, you know, not safe for cash plays. Taylor Gabriel, I played him a couple weeks ago. I mean, I played him a couple weeks ago I think he was in a primetime slate, so I had to use him. Like in a primetime slate, you have to use guys like this. And, you know, he's been incredibly efficient. He's, you know, he's done well when he's gotten the targets. He doesn't get a lot of them, though. He gets very few targets. Yeah. So, but you know, let's compare him and his, you know, recent, I guess, 3-target-per-game average to Sanu, and let's see what he's been doing. I mean, Sanu will have the 10-target day. You know, he has some days of 7 targets, 10s, 6s. So Sanu is definitely the number 2 guy. So basically the way I'm looking at this, and just this combination in general, is Taylor Gabriel is a shot in the dark GPP. He needs to catch a 60-yard touchdown reception to get you 15 points, his ceiling. At $3,000, the floor is basically, you know, 3 or 4 points. Disaster. Sanu has a little bit better shot. Like, if there's a Peterson effect going on, now Sanu is not a great wide receiver by any stretch, but if there's a Peterson effect, I think it should benefit Sanu the most. And so he's definitely kind of almost, it's hard to say cash viable. I'm not comfortable saying that, but I mean, he's playable here. Sanu had a game a couple weeks ago. It was a game when Julio got hurt. Like, he hurt his ankle, and then Sanu wound up with 10 targets. Julio's healthy now. I just don't know. Like, if the Peterson effect is real, and if Matt Ryan sees Peterson shutting down Julio and needs to go to Sanu, that he could have a big day, you know, out of nowhere. So that, you know, yeah, I would take a shot with it.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly see that. I mean, we've seen this before where it was we too. I hate to keep bringing up my own Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but it's all I remember.
Damn, do you only watch the Bucs games?
No. I'm big on the Red Zone channel. No, it was kind of like that same week. Remember where we were all very high on Vincent Jackson and he didn't do a damn thing. And it was actually Evans that popped up. But, yeah, I mean, I don't feel fully comfortable in paying all that money up for Julio, but – I mean, at the end of the day, that's probably going to be who has the biggest day of the Falcons. But, yeah, I think we're looking for a little something extra from somebody else.
It's about the salary. So yeah, I mean, it's – you know, we're playing these in GPPs. We're making lineups. And, you know, I'm looking into Julio. I'm like, is he going to bring me that 30-plus points going up against Peterson? I don't feel confident in it. It feels like – I don't think he'll be high-owned because I think there are better plays in similar dollar – denominations than Julio. So people are going to naturally go towards some of those better plays. So you'll get low ownership on him, but you know, that's about it. Like I'd much rather, give me Julio Jones head to head versus Amari Cooper, same dollars this week. And I'm going with Cooper. I think Cooper has a bigger day and he's cheaper. So like, why would I pay more for Julio? Only for diversification purposes. That's it. That's my only possible reason. Now, the other thing to touch on in this game real quick and keep it rolling is, you know, the running backs for Atlanta, obviously Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman's coming back this week. Tough spot for both of these guys. Freeman's been a disappointment, you know, in his time as the sort of main guy. If I had to play one, if I knew that Coleman is fully back and, you know, ready to get a full workload, which he's been practicing in full or whatever, then I would definitely lean Coleman just because he's a lot cheaper. But realistically, I don't want to touch the running game here at all.
Yeah, very tough. Man, especially the other side. I mean, look, David Johnson last week against Minnesota had one of his biggest games of the season, which isn't saying much because he has a big game every friggin' day.
Yeah.
But, I think that could be an interesting way to go, too. Him alone on pass catching volume is worth his price, so I'm down to go down that road. And by the way, if I only watched Buck games, I would have stopped watching football a long time ago.
You know, I got into – one of the greatest reasons I got into fantasy football was because as a Jets – I love football. Like, I love watching football. Yeah. And as a Jets fan, it, like, ruined my season by week three every single year. And I'm like, shit, another season down the tube? It's only week four. Like, give me, like, 6 weeks. So when I found fantasy football, I was like, oh, my God. Every game is like a Jets game. Like it was really, I mean, 2002, 2003, whenever the internet started being big. And I discovered fantasy football and I'm like, oh my God, this makes it fun to watch every football game just like it's a Jets game. And that was sort of a revelation for me, you know, 15 years ago that got me into this stuff because I love football. And being a Jets fan, it sucks to be a Jets fan and love football because, you know, how many years? One out of five, it's competitive and they have four. For down, yeah. I mean, Mark Sanchez was our quarterback, for God's sakes. Now we have Brian Fitzpatrick holding out. I mean, he's the worst quarterback in the league, and he held out and got a $12 million contract. Are you serious? That's the team that I'm a fan of. We drafted Christian Hackenberg and didn't take Dak Prescott.
There are a lot of teams.
I was screaming for for Carr a couple of years ago, and they were like sold on Derek Carr. They were sold on Geno Smith. I'm like screaming, oh, my God, how are they letting Derek Carr drop? He's out of the first round. I was going nuts during the draft. I was so pissed. He almost dropped to the Jets in the second round. But he went for, but like, I was screaming at that point. We could, don't get me started. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
It just got me angry.
All right, I was going to bring up another Hackenberg fact, but never mind. Where are we? We are down in the MIA, from the ATL to the MIA. Dolphins, 7.5-point favorites against Chip Kelly's San Francisco 49ers. Opened up at a 7, so not much line movement there. 350 on the money line are favorites. 350 favorites are the Dolphins against the 49ers in this one. Over under 45.5, dropping 2 points from the initial 46.5 open. Everything fine and dandy on bet percentages for the spread, but 79% are on the Dolphins on the money line, as they should be, and 79% are on the under in this one. I mean, this looks pretty easy, JJ day for all the people. We know that in a Chip Kelly offense, they run the most plays per second, so that equates out to more plays for the other team as well. So more rushing opportunities for JJ against one of the worst defenses in the league. I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean, Ajayi, David Johnson are probably the two, I would say, chalkiest plays. Are going to go to Ajayi a lot in this one. It's always nice when you get to face the number 32 ranked rushing defense in the league, which is what the San Francisco 49ers bring to the table. They're traveling. They have a douche for a quarterback, which makes you just root against them so much. And then their pass defense is also terrible. So, you know, as a bonus, you know, if you can't run it again, or if you get bored of running it freely, you can throw it pretty comfortably against these guys too. And so, I mean, they're just awful across the board defensively. Miami is a good defensive team. Surprisingly, they're number five against the rush or against the pass. It doesn't matter in this case because Colin Kaepernick can't complete passes. They're number 14 against the rush. So, yeah, Ajayi. And the other guy I like for Miami in the sneaky – I don't know if it's sneaky. Everybody's on him. On DraftKings, we're always looking for that punt. Like, I need some cheap players to fill out a lineup. That's just how DraftKings is structured. So Devonta Parker is one of those guys this week. He's been getting a ton of targets the last couple of weeks. And there's no reason – he's a big play guy. He's getting healthy. I liked him going into the season. Then he was really bad for a while. And now he's coming back. I mean, eight targets, 10 targets last 2 weeks. You know, why not take a shot with him at under 5,000 on DraftKings? That's the only guy I like. I don't like Jarvis Landry. He's too expensive. He's close to 6. I mean, he's come down a bit, but he's just not putting up numbers that justify his salary at all. I mean, you know.
What a disappointment. What a disappointment.
He's had a tough year. He just hasn't gotten those targets. Like, he was always very much a targets-based player. Like, he doesn't do well unless he gets 10 or 12 targets in a game. And when he's not getting that, he just doesn't deliver.
Well, double digits in targets in the first 4 games of the season, and then not.
Yeah,
single then digits all the way through. But, Devontae Parker was a guy that I think a lot of people were really big on coming out of Louisville. Just a massive wide receiver frame out there. And, you know, it's good to see him finally getting through that, but getting the touches that he deserves. So, yeah, I mean, 4,700, I'm in, you know. Yeah. And I got no issue with that.
As your GPP under-the-radar play, I mean, you could consider Kenny Stills. He's still getting some targets. So, you know, he'll do a big play every once in a while. I'm probably not going to play him, but he's worth a shot.
I was going to say, yeah, with the Niners, you know, assumingly being down in every single game this season, you know, their highest pass catcher, the pass catcher for the Niners that cost the most is going to be Jeremy Curley at 3,500. That's insane. So for
six
targets, that's
good. Last week, 6 targets, 0 receptions. This is just to let you know how bad Colin Kaepernick is as a quarterback. Yeah, he can run it, and he can actually put up fantasy points. But he sucks as a quarterback. He has no timing. You know, he has no efficiency. It's awful. So, yeah, I mean, Curly is their
I'll
top
give him
guy.
An inkling. I'll give him an inkling of leeway since it was raining pretty damn hard on like all up and down the West Coast last week. But you got to hit at least one target out of a six pack. I'm not interested in any of the receivers, but he's been looking for Vance McDonald a lot lately. He's at 3,000 as a tight end. That's somewhat interesting.
Yeah. I guess I'm not going to use him. I don't like these guys. You know, McDonald is like a miracle when he gets reception. He has been doing okay, but I mean, no, I'm not touching him.
Hey, I said it was interesting. Not
yeah.
Something,
I'm just
something
yeah.
Outside
I
want to
make it
name,
clear.
So.
You know what happens if I say if we talk about it here on the thing? Like, well, you said Vance McDonald on the pod.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I'm like, no, I want to be clear. I'm not using him this week. I don't want you to Fair think enough. That I'm gutting down with the Vance. I have not used him this season. I will not be Vancing this weekend either. I'm not even going to go to McDonald's. That's how much I'm not going to use this guy. I'm not even going to eat a Big Mac this weekend. Like, that's it. No, I don't want to go anywhere near McDonald's.
Checkers guy. I like the Checkers.
Checkers, man. There's not too many Checkers around me, but I have been to one. And it's not that good. I like I like Five Guys. That's a Jersey. That's a Jersey
they're
special.
Good. Pretty expensive for Five Guys, but Checkers fry game is just straight dominant. There's nobody competing with those.
I think if there was a Checkers nearby, I'd probably frequent it a little bit more.
I'm a big Chick-fil-A guy as well.
They don't have Chick-fil-A around here at all. I would be obsessed with Chick-fil-A if it was around here.
When I lived down in Tampa, that was a regular lunch stop. All right, before I go eat everything, I guess we're at the halfway point now. Let's take a quick break and have a word from our sponsor.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code PODCAST on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.
All right, and we're back here. The Los Angeles Rams head to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down in New Orleans, and they are 7-point favorite here up against the Rams. Minus 325 on the money line are the Saints, and we've got a total here at 46, which just like the spread on this game has stayed this exact same all week. I kind of like games like that. That gives me an indication, let me know, okay, things are good here. There's no, as a drill instructor has told me before, no fuckery. So
no fuckery.
Good,
yeah.
Good to see some stability there. The spread percentage here on the bets, 79% of the bets are on the Saints in this one, as they should be. 89% of the bets, surprisingly, on the Rams money line here. That's interesting to note. And then 70% of the bets are actually on the under in this game, which is pretty stupid if you ask me, since we're at the Coors Field of football. Now,
but interesting.
We'll get to Jared. Go ahead.
Yeah, interesting that money's coming in on the under.
Yeah, I guess that could be the Jared Goff factor.
Is Goff able to complete a pass? That's the real question.
80% say no. So here, Drew Brees at home, we know the deal. This is his own personal playground here. He gets the job done. Now, the Rams have been doing a tremendous job at stopping the run this season. So what a great situation Drew Brees is going to find himself in this week.
You want to hear a crazy thought about this game?
Boy, do I.
I have a wacky one for you.
Okay.
Something you'd normally never consider. Saints defense.
I could get down with that. I don't mind that at all.
Saints defense in the Coors Field of football. Jared Goff, he's just not ready for prime time yet.
Or daytime.
He's not ready. I mean, you know, I don't know what the hell they were thinking taking him over Wentz. But he's just not ready yet. I mean, last week they played Miami at home.
Yes.
Right?
Miami's another not, rainy game.
Yeah, a rainy game. Whatever. Okay, 17 for 31, 134 yards total. Okay?
Uh-huh.
No touchdowns, 6 fantasy points. That is not a number that improves the next week. Like, that is not a number. You could check. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick puts up more than these type of numbers. They could do nothing. All right, now I hear about the rain, but you know something? If I have to hear somebody in Los Angeles crying about the rain, like these fuckers, if it drizzles a little bit, you know, no one can go anywhere. The whole city's shut down. Like, oh my God, I can't drive in the car. It's drizzling. Please, okay? I'm from New York. It snows here. I have 3 feet of snow. I'm driving. I'm going to work. Where are you headed? I'm going to work.
We're built. We're built for this sort of life.
I'm not even worried about it. The drizzle. The whole city shuts down. Please. That's no excuse for 134 yards. This guy's not ready to play, and it's a shame. And the team has to force him in there. They're gonna be awful. So, yeah, use Saints defense for cheap. No one's using them. No one's even thinking about the Saints defense. You're thinking Titans, who I love also. But yeah. I didn't even put the Saints in my picks. I just came up with the shit right now. That just came up right off the top of my head. So. You know, yeah, don't play anybody. I'm not using anybody on this team. Not even, I know, we'll play Gurley. No, I'm not playing Gurley because the Rams can't score. They can't move the football. You can concentrate on the run. It's not a great spot. Can Gurley break a runoff? Sure. Saints defense ain't that good.
Last week.
No. He could do it. Last week I liked Gurley. I thought he was going to do well. He didn't. You know, he did okay, but I mean, you know, if anybody's getting points, it's going to be him. I'm not touching Tavon. I'm not touching Tavon Austin here, even though in a general sense you'd think it was a good spot in the Superdome and whatever, and he could just check it down. I'm not touching him. Kenny Britt, your boy, is so pissed right now. He was playing well, representing Bayonne the way he's supposed to. Got all the way up. What's that? Go ahead.
He's just like, I just need a damn ball thrown to me. He's like, put the damn machine out there. Let Goff just put the ball in the machine and toss it up. I'll go get it. He was having a phenomenal season. This really ruined it.
I mean, this guy climbed his way up to 7,000 plus on FanDuel. He's still hanging out there, by the way, which is ridiculous. So, like, he turned himself into a legitimate player this season, and now he's got Jared Goff. He's done. So, you know, he can't do anything. So it's a tough situation for those guys. As far as the other team goes here, the Saints, the only problem with this team is you never know who Drew Brees is going to throw to.
Yep.
I have no fear of the Rams defense on the road here, but I don't see a high-scoring game. I get why people are betting the under. It's just because, you know, the Rams aren't going to do anything. Goff is terrible, but the Rams do play okay defense. So I don't know which Saints wide receiver is going to do well. I do know that Michael Thomas is severely underpriced on FanDuel relative to DraftKings, which is interesting. Like, on DraftKings, Thomas and Cooks are basically the same price. And on FanDuel, Thomas is way cheaper. He's in the bottom tier of wide receivers price-wise.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very big difference. So I look for differences like that. I'm like, oh, wow, I like Michael Thomas on FanDuel. I don't like him on DraftKings. Yeah. I'll play Cooks on DraftKings, and I'll play Michael Thomas on FanDuel, and fuck it. I'll make money on one and lose money, or maybe they'll both do well. I don't know. But that's kind of the way I play it.
DraftKings is the leader in pricing. Like, FanDuel is just so far behind on this kind of stuff. Because me and Keith did this all the time in baseball, where we'd see something, be like, all right, so this guy is this price on FanDuel, but he's ridiculously cheap on DraftKings. All right, and it would work like 80% of the time. Here's why I really like your play for the Saints defense. And I was just thinking about this myself now. And I'm thinking the over-under for a Saints game is at 46. And I'm like, no, that can't possibly be. It's like, I wonder how many times that's happened this season. And courtesy of our friend VegasInsider.com, great nice. Site, by the way. You can go back and see all the different lines from each team this season and what they were. The Saints have not had a game in which they've been – or which the total has been under 50 points the entire season. That's home or the road. So
I mean, you're seeing what they think of the Rams' offense here is just
exactly very bad. Exactly, and you know how tough it is for anybody to go into the Superdome and play, let alone a rookie quarterback. But here's the big thing that differentiates it, and why I absolutely love this. I noticed last week against the Dolphins that there was no such thing as a hard count for the Rams. Like, the Dolphins were just timing up their rushes perfectly to when Goff was hiking that ball. Like, it was – their cadence was just ridiculously – it was not camouflage at all. You know, like, you knew when that ball was being snapped. And that was a huge advantage for the Dolphins' defense. So I'm wondering if they're going to – you know, if the Saints are going to pick up on that, because just me watching the freaking Red Zone channel, that was the first thing I saw. I watched – you know, because they had Goff on a lot of that day. And that was the one big thing I took away. I'm like, when are they going to, like, mix up their counts here? Like, they know exactly when they're snapping the ball. So that is another reason why Goff is not doing that well, and also tells you that they're not really trying to throw any flair into this offense. It's all just very vanilla right now.
The other problem is the coach is very conservative. So you don't have a coach that's going to, like, let him air it out, even if he had a shot to. But, you know, it's a very conservative coach there. Just not a good situation. And definitely, I'm not going all in on Saints defense this week, but it's playable. And anytime you have a young quarterback head swimming, you know, he's got a million things on his mind. That's what the cadence thing, like, that comes when these guys get some veteran experience. Some of them, you know, the better quarterbacks just, they start to perfect little techniques like that, you know, in time. But, you know, when you're a rookie, you're still trying to remember what the play was. Like, he's up there at the line going, like, throw it to Britt. Like, he's just trying to remember who the primary wide receiver, like, he's trying to remember his progressions. He's like, you know, ABC, ABC. He's probably saying it over and over in his head. Just like, what's my progression? You know, there's so much to think about for quarterback in an NFL play that I don't know that you can really get to, like, nuances until that other stuff comes natural to you. And, I mean, that's why guys like Colin Kaepernick suck. He doesn't even have any knowledge of, you know, some of the intricacies of the quarterback position. He's just, like, standing out there, you know, the spread offense type, one read and run type quarterback. He doesn't have that intricacy that you really need to succeed in the NFL. And so, you know, Goff's terrible. He's not terrible. I don't know if he's good or bad, but, I mean, he's not looking good right now. And, yeah, this is a good spot, and he's in a shitty offense. So, yeah, Saints D all day. As far as the running back position, if somehow Ingram was out, which he's not going to be, they're saying he's going to play, then I would have liked Tim Hightower a lot. But with both of them, meh. I'll look elsewhere.
And it's interesting, too, because we are seeing the Saints at 2,800 on DraftKings, which is a price that these guys have only dreamed about. So I think that's a little telling as well. But it's funny because the defenses that are – and, you know, as I mentioned, we only have one game this week that has a total of 50. Everything is below it. So – and all these other defenses that are below the Saints, you're like, no – No, like Browns, Bucks, Niners, Rams, Jags, Jets. No.
I mean, you
no.
like so, at that 2,800 level, the Titans are there too. So you're looking at those two teams and going, all right, which one should I take here? You know, I'm taking the Titans on one. Maybe I'll go 2-1 Titans to Saints, that kind of ratio. But, you know, I think both have to be used because you don't know which of these young quarterbacks is going to implode and throw five interceptions. But if one does, you want to be at exposure. That wins you the. When I've won contests, the best way to win a contest is to nail the defense, a low-owned defense that goes off. Much more so than any other position, when I've won a GPP or placed extremely high in a G, I still remember my defenses of all of the positions because that's usually the difference maker. Like, when I my biggest win ever, I always talk about the game, but it was Green Bay defense taking on Mark Sanchez led Eagles a couple of years ago, and they put up the Green Bay, I think, wound up with like 28 points in that game defensively, and that's a difference maker in a GPP. Like, you know, that difference of from the next best D, which was like 14 points that week, was huge. That wins you the contest if you had it. It was only 3% on. So like your competition now is just 3% of the teams in this GPP because you have a 12, 13 point lead on everyone else. That is the way you win. So you take a shot on a crazy deep. This isn't even that crazy. This is like legit, and it will be low on. So I really like the play. I'm convincing myself more and more to heavily own them here. So that is going to happen.
Who'd have thunk our most interesting discussion would be Rams Saints?
Yeah, right. That's a poignant, poignant player pick from the Rams Saints game. Let's move on from that turd and find a better game to talk about here.
Speaking of turds, the Browns. What a great segue. Yeah. So we got the Giants, 7-point favorites on the road in America's Toilet Bowl, Cleveland. Giants here -290 favorites as on the money line. I've got an over under here of 44, very low. 88% of the bets are on the Giants at -7. 97% of the bets are on the Giants on the money line. 66% of the bets here are on the under in this game. 44, kind of a troubling number for me here. You know, I would expect the Giants to have some sort of success in this game. You know, I know that, you know, they're not going to run the ball down anyone's throat for sure, but I guess, you know, with it being Cleveland, you know, I'm not sure what the weather is like there this week. I'll check that in a sec while you're doing some analysis, but I would assume that the wind has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I'm really not sure there. I do think this line is too low because Josh McCown is playing it, and McCown's not bad. Like, Cleveland plays better when he's under center. They wanted to get Cody Kessler reps all season for some reason, but and McCown does get hurt most of the time when he plays, but when he is in there, he's pretty good. Like, he's a pretty good quarterback, so I'm a little surprised at how low this line is on this game. I don't know about weather situations, but I do know this. So we'll look at Cleveland, the worst defense in the league across the board, 32 and 30 respectively, pass and run. So, or run and pass. So they're the worst. So you could pretty much do what you will to them. A lot of people are going to be on the Manning to Odell Beckham Jr. stack. That's fine if you want to. My theory for this week is if I'm using Odell, I might as well just stack him with Manning because why not? You know, if like if he's having a big enough game that he's bringing value at his salary. I don't consider Odell's value like getting me a 20-point day. I need 30 points out of Odell. Again, he's the most expensive wide receiver on the slate. So if he's not bringing me 30-plus points, I'm kind of not happy that I used him. And you know, he hasn't had those 30-point days outside of just the one. So he hasn't been a guy that's, like, bringing value. He's seeing a lot of targets, though. And, you know, 11, 10, 9, not crazy, but enough. So he's not a guy that I'm going to make a core play for myself because I don't want to use Eli in all of my lineups or even a lot of them. I'll just use him with Eli. Outside of him, you know, there's a couple other wide receivers for the Giants, Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard. You know, I'm not so crazy about any of them. Sterling Shepard has been a little overpriced based on his production. He's at 5,500 on DraftKings, and, you know, he's a 15 points per game kind of player. That's three times salary. I mean, it's a good cash play, but he hasn't bring in tournament value at all. And Victor Cruz, just I have this theory that if you use Cruz, you're going to lose. Like, I have this thing that I've had in my head for so many years that I can't get past it. So I don't use Cruz because I don't want to lose. At running back,
you
though.
Use Cruz, you lose.
If you use Cruz, drink some booze because you're probably going to lose. Okay. He's been fantasy death on season long fantasy teams for so many years now, and people always draft him, and like then you have to start him because he used to have a big name. This is already going back 3-4 years. You know, he had this big name and you start him and he's terrible. And it's like, oh, shit, he's killing my team.
The
pride he's
like, of Paterson, New Jersey.
Yeah. Now, I liked Cruz before he got hurt all the time, but now he's just not so good anymore. Rashad Jennings appears to have secured himself the role of workhorse back for the Giants. Why do I say this? 2 weeks ago at Cincinnati, 15 attempts, 87 yards. Okay. More interestingly, 6 targets in the passing game, 3 receptions. All right. Now, last week, home against Chicago, 21 attempts, 85 yards, 6 targets, 5 receptions. A big fantasy day. Mm. Now we look at the alternative option for the Giants, Mr. Perkins. Paul Perkins. He's done nothing. 4 attempts last week, 2 receptions. The week before, 9 attempts. Okay, still use him a little bit. 3 targets, 0 receptions. So basically, what I'm seeing is they're going less and less. The touches for Perkins has been going down 11, 9, 4 in the last 3 weeks. The touches and the targets receptions for Jennings going up, which indicates in some way that they seem to want to sort of stick with Jennings a little bit more. Maybe they're seeing that it's not so smart to have a running back triumvirate, or what do you say? What do you call it when 4 people are swapping off?
We've done in basketball with Golden State, we call it the Fantastic Four.
All right, we don't need a Fantastic Four.
A foursome.
Yeah, a foursome, a fabulous foursome of running backs that all touch the ball. So, you know, Jennings is interesting in this spot. I still don't fully trust him. He's not, you know, a cash play for me, but you know, going up against the worst run defense certainly makes him interesting. On the other side, by the way, there's some Cleveland goodness here. Again, I'm if I was betting this game, I'd probably the Giants defense is good, right? They're pretty good this year. You know, Meadowlands. We know the Giants, right? They've been good.
Meadowlands, whatever.
Yeah, you know, we know the Giants. They're a local team. They've been good this year. They're 7th against the pass or 10th against the rush. They're a good defense.
Really squeaking out their wins too.
Close games, playing well at home. You know, they're in it. They're in it right now. They're in the chase. They're in the hunt for that spot, which is shocking. You'd think, like in my mind, the Redskins are better than the Giants, but somehow the Giants have a much better record than the Redskins. So, you know, maybe my mind is all screwed up, but, you know.
Well, they also have played – what do we got here? They've won some pretty crappy ones. So they played the Rams. You know, they beat the Bengals. They just beat the Bears. They're going to have the Browns this week. So, yeah, schedule is certainly in their favor right now.
It's worked out for them. They've also had big wins against, like, the Eagles. You know, they beat some good teams. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's not really a good win. But they lost to Washington. They beat Dallas.
Cowboys,
yeah, I mean, they squeaked out a win against the Cowboys. So, you know, good for them. Good for them. They've played well. As far as Cleveland goes, though, with McCown under the helm, you have to look at Gary Barnidge as a possible punt play at tight end. He's done well with under McCown. McCown loves him. Like, these two guys just have a good connection. In McCown games, he's gotten 7 or 8 targets per game. When the other guy played, Cody Kessler, he was terrible. But under McCown, he got a lot of targets. He didn't do much with them. He hasn't had the big game, so I'm not going to go crazy on Gary Barnidge this week or anything like that. But the Giants have been vulnerable to tight ends in the past. The guy I like a little bit more, even if the price was right, is Terrell Pryor Sr., TPS. He just is a target machine. He gets 10 targets per game, every single game. They use him a lot. He's an explosive guy. It's not a great matchup, but you know, I wouldn't sleep on Terrell Pryor here in this game. Again, not my number one play, but somebody who you could mix in, and I could easily see him, you know, getting 7 receptions here and getting you 20 fantasy points, finding a way.
So back to your point of, you know, Giants winning all these close games, 7 wins this season by a combined 28 points, 4 per game.
I mean, if I was betting this game again and I got a 7-point spread, I might parlay it up a little bit more. I'm not a betting man. I don't like to gamble. But If I was, I'd probably bet the Browns here at home, 7-point dogs. Maybe I can get a few more points to them, but I don't think the Giants are going to blow them out.
Fair enough. Yeah, I could certainly see that scenario. Again, being in Cleveland, you know, not the greatest conditions for football. So, yeah, it could be a pretty sloppy game here. Yeah, could definitely see that.
Maybe one to avoid for fantasy purposes.
All right. All right. We'll take it down south to Tampa Bay, where the Seattle Seahawks opened up the week as 4.5-point favorites, have moved up recently to 6-point favorites here. They are 260 favorites on the money line, and our total of 45 has stayed the same throughout the whole week. Interesting note here, favor of my boys, 89% of the bets are on the Seahawks at -6. Love that number for my bucks. Not much difference with the money line here, and 84% of the bets so far are on the over in this game. Interesting to note that there are a couple injuries here for the Seahawks. I believe Earl Thomas is going to be out for this one. Michael Bennett be out for this one. And then I believe Shed, the cornerback as well, will probably be out. So those are significant injuries there. But, I think the Seattle defense is pretty thorough through and through.
Those are significant. Those are significant, though. They're legit.
Oh yeah. Well, let's start with Seattle's offense here because you know they are the favorite. And you know, look, I'm going to tell you this right now as a Bucs fan. Tampa Bay sucks at home. I don't know what the deal is. They cannot get their shit together at home. They're so much better on the road. I believe they're 4-1 on the road and 1-4 at home. So yeah, that just shows you everything you need to know. But
could they be intimidated by the big pirate ship? Is that messing up their heads?
I sure hope not, because I mean, what other team has a pirate ship in their stadium?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we've kind of
what if it's
we've
the pirate
kind of planted our flag, pun intended, on that whole thing. But maybe, possibly. But so with the Seattle Seahawks offense, is this going to be another big Russell Wilson? I should say another trademark Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin day.
Well, that's the big question, right? So we're looking at Baldwin. We're looking at Jimmy Graham. And usually with the Seahawks offense, it's one or the other. I haven't seen very many games where both guys get a lot of run. So we go to the videotape, and, you know, what do we learn? We learn that the Bucs are pretty darn good against tight end. Actually, yes. Let me get the numbers here. Okay, yeah, all right, so my hunch is correct here. The Bucs are pretty good against tight ends. I did this research before, but without having written the full Vegas Lions column I have in front of me. Number 5 overall team against the tight end position versus number 1 wide receivers, or really, I mean, they're not that good against any wide receiver position.
No.
Doug Baldwin plays in the slot. So I do think my primary stack, and I love this game for fantasy purposes, My primary stack is going to be Wilson to Baldwin. I will do some Graham as a sort of contrarian thing, but Baldwin is my guy. I like him in cash. I like him in tournaments. I like him everywhere this week. He also – there's also that sort of karma from his crazy run from like week 11 or 12 last season through the end of the season. And, yep. You know, it's kind of like, why shouldn't you do that again? Like, you know, Russell Wilson's all of a sudden playing better. Maybe it'll be a deja vu situation. He's already kind of started because he's been doing really well the last couple of weeks. I've been very, very heavily on him. And I like him again this week for sure. The other guy's Rawls. T. Rawls.
Yep.
No one to take touches from him. I love opportunities for my running backs. And when there's no backup plan, that makes me smile. Man, I like T. Rawls. Yeah, I like him. I like him here a lot. He's one of my favorite running back plays of the week. They're going to throw to him. They're going to hand it to him. They're going to let him throw it. They're going to do everything with T. Rawls this week, unless he gets hurt on the first play and then blows up my whole weekend.
I was very impressed by him last week. He looked like he was shot out of a cannon on every single run. You know, just absolutely demolishing a lot of those Eagles secondary players. Hell, even linebackers too that he was running into. He looked great last week. So yeah, that's a very very positive way of thinking with Rawls there. Now, you know, look, Tampa Bay did a great job at stopping the run, and you know, a lot of their success against stopping the run kind of was, you know, that whole funnel defense, and that happened a lot of last year and at the beginning of this year. But actually stopping running backs, running the ball up the middle, it's gotten significantly worse here over the last couple of games. But yeah, I mean, look, Rawls is going to be able to catch some passes too. So yeah, certainly, you know, I don't mind Rawls at all. But yeah, I think the big weakness in Tampa Bay is their secondary. And you know, that teams have just had field days against them, especially in Tampa Bay. So to me, like, it's a no-brainer to go with Doug Baldwin. I mean, I know that there's a couple good quarterbacks out there this week, but Baldwin for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think a Wilson to Baldwin stack is going to be on the list. Like, you know, I don't think Wilson brings value, though, unless some secondary player does something. And it's really tough to find secondary players that are going to do anything. Again, it's got to be either – I mean, Curse has done nothing all season. Nothing. Lockett, nothing. So it's either – it's been either Baldwin. I mean, in a sense, I like situations like this. I love it when I don't have to worry. Like, other teams, like this, the Saints, you have to try to figure it out. Who's going to throw to Michael Thomas? And then it's – you sound like a genius if you said Michael Thomas and it happened. But realistically, I have no fucking clue. How the hell would you know which of these guys is going to be the guy? You have no idea, and there's no way of knowing it. But with a team like Seattle, it really is. It's either going to be Baldwin or Jimmy Graham most of the time. I mean, it's just going to switch off. If one guy's doing really well, they'll forget about the other guy for a while. It's just how they operate, and it's unfortunate, but that's kind of how that team winds up operating. But yeah, it's either going to be one guy or the other. So I like that narrower sort of focus. And I mean, more so, I would say, for the Bucks. No? I mean, the Bucks have one guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I mean, look, the subtraction of Earl Thomas this week bodes a little better for Mike Evans. And look, we've seen guys catch passes against Richard Sherman. I mean, I think, you know, over the years, he's not been as dominant as he's been, but for sure, it's not somebody that I'm excited to go up against. I think, you know, I don't think I'm telling anything foreign there. But the guy I'm kind of interested here, Cameron Brait. Now, we have seen tight ends have some success against the Seahawks in the past. But I, you know, look, Seattle's a very intelligent defensive team. So I feel like they're going to do everything that they can to take Mike Evans out of this game, which would leave a lot of looks for Cameron Brait over the middle. And then I'm not going to advocate for this, but, you know, I think the game plan is going to go to a lot of screen passes to Adam Humphries and a lot of short passes over the middle to Cameron Brait. But I'm not comfortable going with Humphries, but Brait is a guy that I am comfortable going to.
He's playable. I mean, you know, Seattle, 21st against the tight end position, giving up just about 8 receptions, 50 yards per game. So, you know, for the price of $3,100, you know, when you're doing your drafting, it's not a FanDuel play for me. I like the upside on FanDuel. There's more value around on FanDuel. I don't need to take players like Cameron Brait on FanDuel. But, I mean, Brait has a couple of big games. Last week he put up a very big day against Chicago. Did okay against Atlanta. You know, so he's had a couple of big games this season. He had a big game against the Rams early in the season too. Caught a couple of touchdowns. I don't think, you know, that's gonna be replicated. I like to look at total yardage, and you know, he has these 60, 50 sort of yard days on occasion. So yeah, he's playable here. And you're right. I mean, they're gonna funnel passes away from Evans, in a sense, just because Sherman's going to be all over. Richard Sherman, by the way, is one of my favorite players in the NFL. I love Richard Sherman. I love that dude. I just love him.
Try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree?
Yeah. I just love him. I love the way he talks, his talk shitting. He's a smart guy. He's just awesome. I love his personality. He's one of my favorite guys. His face, I still talk about the face he made. You know, when they're about to score the touchdown in the Super Bowl, it's just the thrill of victory to agony of defeat. There's nothing better. They should use that everywhere, and they don't. Like, I have to bring it into pop culture as like the Richard Sherman face. You know, just this satisfaction in knowing you're about to win the Super Bowl that turns into the horror of defeat just all in a second. So classic. Nothing will ever be better than that. But no, I love Richard Sherman. But he's going to, you know, he's going to blanket cover Mike Evans. So yeah, Evans will get 13 targets anyway, because they just keep throwing it to him. But Seattle can stop the run, so it's not going to be like a Doug Martin doing, running up the gut kind of situation. So, right. Yeah, what if he's going to throw it to Braid or Humphreys or maybe – I don't even know. There's another guy there, Russell Shepard. I mean, no. But I'm saying no. I'm not touching Humphreys either. I mean, he had a game or two that worked out, but he's not a big play guy. So, yeah, I mean, I more look at Evans as like more of a contrarian GPP scenario than anything else. He, again, is priced similar to players in better spots. I'd rather have Baldwin for $1,000 or much cheaper than Evans this week. I'd rather have Larry Fitzgerald for less. I'd rather have so many other players. But he's at home and no one will be on him. So if you need a GPP low ownership guy, that might be the guy. As far as who's going to win or lose, yeah, I think Seattle's going to beat him.
Yeah, I think it should be fair. Like, I've seen a couple people, maybe the Bucks can pull this one out. No, they're at home. It's not going to go well. Advocate for the Seahawks defense here, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, that's this. I'm not going to play Seattle, not on the road. But that's this local knowledge that you have. You know, when it's your team, you kind of know. Like me, I'm not looking at like their record. I'm kind of thinking, oh, they're at home. I got to be the boost. But you're telling me, no, these guys play worse at home. They actually play better on the road. So that's interesting to learn.
Yeah, it's actually – I think they've actually – I don't want to – don't quote me on this, but it's something like – I think 4-16 in their last 20 home games, something along those lines. That's not very good.
I'm sure the betting guys, like the people who bet the games, probably have all these numbers about how like Tampa as home favorites haven't covered in X amount of games. I'm sure all those stats are floating around somewhere. Again, so this game rolls Baldwin, Wilson, and maybe Cameron Braid if you want to take a punt.
Yeah. All right, now for your juicy burger matchup of the week, we've got the Carolina Panthers traveling to the Black Hole in Oakland. Oakland started out as 4-point favorites this week. Line has dropped slightly down to 3 in favor of the Raiders. Raiders are -167 favorites in this one, with the over-under sitting at 49.5. It started out at 48, so jumped up 1.5 there. No outlying percentages here except for 78% of the bets are on the over in this game, as they damn well should be. From a betting perspective, this line really favors the Panthers a lot. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, especially Oakland at home, the fact that they're favored, their money line. See, this is the thing I've been doing for basketball a lot, just taking a look at a money line that doesn't really make sense. And here you got, the Raiders taking on and just a ridiculously struggling Panthers team right now. They should be somewhere in the 200s at least. The fact that they're
okay,
not.
Yeah, you're right. The money. Okay. All right. There it is. Yeah, I see what you mean.
And Oakland also, they did have that game on Monday night. So coming from another country. So a little bit of a shorter week for them, but. I do know that you're very heavy on the Carr to Cooper play. I don't think that line or anything would affect that. But I do really like Cam Newton this week, especially given all this Vegas knowledge that we have here. I mean, it's not like Oakland's secondary has been good.
This is the game that we want to get on this week. On both sides. Stack it up. Stack it in. The whole deal. Right?
Let me begin.
Let me begin. All right. So, I mean, this is the game we want. It's so obvious, right? Number one, Cam is super cheap, ridiculous. It's almost a crime. Like, it's not a crime. Yep. We just have to take advantage of it. Cam has been off his game recently. There's no doubt about it. Something's a little bit off there. He hasn't been putting up the big numbers. But Cam is Cam, and eventually it's going to come back. The problem with this team so far has been, like, as Cam has gone, so has Kelvin Benjamin. Benjamin has been pretty shitty as a fantasy play for many, many weeks. And, he just hasn't done anything all year. And it's like, what's going on with these guys? I don't know. But
Super Bowl loss hangover.
Probably it's real. It's the Super Bowl hangover. It's the stardom thing. It's getting to one's head. Who knows? But it's still Cam Newton. He can punch it. You know, he can get you 30 points just with his legs and a couple of big passes. But, you know, I'm starting with the Raiders side of this because they're the home team. They're facing a defense that cannot and has not stopped the pass all season. They can kind of stop the run, but they haven't been good against the pass. They're okay at pressuring the quarterback. But, you know, I expect a big dose of Carr to Cooper. Even Crabtree might get involved in this one a little bit. That's the first place I'm going. I mean, it's kind of easy to stack this game because you're looking at Carr. Now, Carr, Cooper, you're looking at using players from the opposite team like Olsen or Kelvin. I'm leaning Olsen over Kelvin, but, you know, either one is fine. You can take some stabs with a Ted Gibb Jr. at the cheaper salary levels, although, you know, that's very much kind of high risk, very little chance of reward. I don't know if I'm going to go there. But this is basically the game with the second highest total of the week. It's up there. There's going to be a lot of scoring. And I think Cam will be actually surprisingly low owned. I think everybody's going to be on – I think that the cash play is probably Carr to Cooper. And maybe the contrarian play within this game is probably Cam Newton to either Olsen or Benjamin.
How do you feel about a naked Cam in this one?
Totally fine with it. Any exposure to this game is good. I'm going to take naked Cam. Cam is cheap. Like, his salary is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just realized that now that you said that. Whoa.
I mean, he's below Marcus Mariota. I mean, he's below Matt Ryan. He's at 6,800 on DraftKings. Let me look at – you know, I don't have FanDuel open in front of me, but I don't think he's – I think he's even more ridiculously cheap on FanDuel. He's even cheaper or let me open this up here. But the point is, when you can get Cam at, like, reasonably low ownership, I think you got to do it.
You know, absolutely.
You got to take some shots, especially in tournaments. You got to take some shots with this guy. Let's see here. You hear my loud scrolling. So loud. Yeah, 7,800 on FanDuel. That is crazy cheap for a FanDuel quarterback.
And what's the top quarterback price over there?
Tom Brady, 9,100.
Okay.
But I mean, all of these guys, actually, I mean, Derek Carr, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, all about the same on FanDuel in that high to mid sevens. On DraftKings, all three guys, let's see, Cam is 6,800. Derek Carr is 6,100. So in a sense here, on DraftKings, Cam is more expensive than Carr. On FanDuel, Carr is more expensive than Cam. Interesting. And Eli Manning is the same price. Like, am I really going to play Eli fucking Manning at the same price as Cam Newton or Derek Carr? Derek Carr is cheaper than Eli Manning. Are they crazy?
Hell to no.
Fuck Eli Manning. Compared to these two, I mean, sure, GPP stack with OBJ, fine. But, you know, in a cash game, I'm using these other guys. These numbers are crazy. So I love everything about this game. I just want everybody who's listening to stack up this game and make money this weekend. I don't know how else to tell it to you. And use Cooper. Crabtree's kind of gimpy right now. He's got some ankle issue. He's not been playing well. So I definitely prefer Cooper to Crabtree in this game. Like, the last couple games, Crabtree hasn't been shit.
Yeah. Now, you know, look, Oakland's secondary has sucked, you know, and I think that this is actually going to work well for both quarterbacks because, you know, they'll probably push each other to, you know, have to score points. So, you know, the way I would like to see this game go, because I'm, you know, since you mentioned that about Cam Newton, I don't see myself going any other way at quarterback this week. But, you know, the dream scenario would just be Raiders get the opening kickoff, drive down the field, score, and, you know, and then we see it. Because I feel like if Carolina gets the ball first, they might try to maybe play a little bit of keep away from Oakland to keep their offense off the field. But, I mean, look, these guys are going to score points regardless. I'd just like to see Oakland score the first ones. Gotta get Cam in the throwing mentality.
The goal, what we always look for when we're doing this, because the goal in daily fantasy is not to have an average day from a bunch of different players. The goal is to be right and guess and sort of figure out which is the game that's going to be the shootout, that's going to be the high-scoring affair, that's going to be back and forth, or where your team gets behind and they just have to throw nonstop to catch up, but they don't quit. It's one of the reasons why I like home underdogs and good teams. Yeah. Like, because when you're at home and you're the underdog and you get behind down by 21, you don't quit. You keep trying to play and you make a comeback sometimes. So, like, take the quarterback. The wide receivers actually wind up doing well, even in a losing effort. This is the type of game. Hey, it's still very important. Both these teams are sort of playoff bound, or the Panthers need wins and they need some things. So, but they're going for the playoffs. Like, they're not.
They still have a shot. They still have a very good shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a very good, but they have a shot, and they need to win. And so they're out there not quitting. They're out there to play. You know what I mean? They're there to play. One thing I don't know, man, I don't know what the hell's up with Kelvin Benjamin this season. Like, I thought he'd be doing a lot better by now. He just is not having those big numbers. And I think it goes hand in hand with sort of Cam not playing well recently. Like, you know, when one doesn't do well, the other guy doesn't do well. And I want to look at Olsen here real quick. Just get some of his numbers together, because Olsen's another one.
You know, I think happened, Cam got to play with his other toys last year. And, look, you know, it worked well with them spreading the ball out. So, you know, he got some comfortability with guys like Ted Ginn or Philly Brown, you know, guys that we'd never touch with a 10-foot pole in fantasy. But, you know, guys like that get some interesting run. I think, like, Ted Ginn against the Oakland secondary, I wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't be surprised, because, you know, we've seen speed burners like Brandon Cooks on opening day. I'm trying to think of some other guys here, but we have seen just speedy wide receivers burn this secondary time and time again. I mean, hell, DeAndre Hopkins caught a phantom 70-yard touchdown against them last week. So
it can happen. Oakland, I love teams like this. Oakland has a bad defense, and they score a lot. And that's I love that. I mean, that's what I'm looking for in daily fantasy football. I mean, that's the ultimate scenario. And then I want them to face a team that can keep up with them scoring-wise, because you're not going to shut down the Oakland offense generally. Like, at home, they're very good. And they've just put up points every single week of the season. There's no reason to think this is the week that they're not going to. And then you have a team like the Panthers where, yeah, if they're facing a really good defense, like, some, they haven't looked right, but out of nowhere, it's Cam Newton. Like, this dude is going to run one in for a touchdown. Like, when he has a shitty game, he puts up 20 points. And that's why I'm so surprised at how cheap he is, because as mediocre as he's been playing, it's not like this guy's not putting up numbers. Like, yeah, he had that bad game against New Orleans, and that was a horror show. No one, thank goodness. But New Orleans played shitty too, and that was a weird divisional game. Like, I don't know what the hell happened. Realistically, I don't know what happened. That was a horror show. Thank goodness that was a Thursday game, and I didn't play the Thursday slate, because I kind of avoided that landmine last week. But he's had some rough games. He played well at Kansas City, but, I mean, 30 points, yeah, some of the shitty games, 22, 34. I don't know. I do like him. I do. Remember that week I was all in on him against New Orleans, and he, like, came through at the end, and everybody was like, you suck, dude. You fucking told me to use Cam, and he was doing bad until, like, the fourth quarter, and I kept saying, people, 30, relax.
30.98.
Yeah. So I was like, relax. He'll come out. I was so happy, though, at the end. Secretly, I was like, wipe my brow. Like, damn.
I didn't even realize that their last game, too, is against the Saints, which means extra rest for Cam, who's probably been hit more than anybody in the league this season. So, I mean, 10 days of rest for Panthers team, and also a short week for Oakland. So,
I think based on the little bit that they've been off, the Panthers have been off, this is why I'm leaning Carr to Cooper as the primary. Because Carr has not been off. The dude's hot, and he's playing well, and Cooper's playing better and better. He's great. So, you know, as a, like, more of a cashy play, I like the Carr. Whereas Newton is more of a tournament play, because he'll be lower owned. And again, if you can have Newton, he has 40-point upside every single game, especially in a competitive one. So let's see what happens. But I'm rolling with this game as my primary one for the week.
Indeed. So safe to say, no defenses, right?
Definitely no defenses. And I'm not excited about either of these running backs, really. I'm not excited about Octavius Murray. I'm not excited about Jonathan Stewart here.
Definitely not. All right. Your boys hosting the New England Patriots this week at the beautiful Meadowlands. The Patriots opened up the week as 9-point favorites, have dropped 2 points, interestingly enough, to 7, minus 350 favorites on the money line. They are, that is tied for the highest of the week with the Miami Dolphins.
The drop was based on Ryan Fitzpatrick being declared the starter. Oddly enough, I guess he's better than whoever else is there.
I'm not buying it. We've got the total also dropped 3 points because that as well started out at 48, have dropped down to 45. 82% of the bets are on the Patriots at -7, and 88% of the bets are on the Patriots money line. 64% of the bets on the over. Nothing overwhelming. Okay. This Jets secondary has struggled massively at times this season. It's not going to be a big need for Tom Brady to air it out, but we've seen him this season, 3-4 touchdowns. That's a regular for him. So, I mean, I don't play cash games that often, but seems kind of safe, although the Jets play the Patriots kind of tough in this division.
It's going to be open season on the Jets here. The Jets don't have a secondary that can that could possibly handle what Tom Brady is going to bring to the table on Sunday. I the Jets have the biggest and most dramatic defensive split between being number 2 overall against the rush and number 30th overall against the pass. There's no team with a greater funnel defense than what the Jets have. And so actually the Patriots are close second, but you know, how's that going to help anyone? So you can't run on the Patriots. It doesn't help us this week, but basically when you play the Jets, you have to move the ball through the air, which according to Tom Brady is fine by him. He's going to do that. So what we want to target here is first and foremost the Patriots passing attack, and it's Brady. Hell yeah, he's going to throw 3 touchdowns. Is it going to be to Edelman, Gronk? I like this Malcolm Mitchell guy. Let's just keep it simple.
Okay.
We're not going to really. This isn't a LeGarrette Blount game. Although if the Jets break, usually you don't break at home. So, like, it would take the Jets' defense breaking for LeGarrette Blount to have this great game. I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm not touching Blount this week. He might have a great game. I could be wrong, but that's what I'm doing. I'm not touching. I like Edelman. Edelman always torches the Jets. They have no one who can hang with him. They have the worst slot corner in the league. He's graded the worst in Buster Skrine. He's last in the league right now. Just had an injured defensive back. Darrell Revis has actually said, my age is catching up to me and my body's giving up on me. He's going around saying things like that. Like, players usually like, no, man, I'm still good. This guy's like, no, my body's breaking down. Like, who says that? even if it is, you don't say that. You don't come out and be like, yeah, I can't keep up or my body is giving up on me. It's crazy. I've never heard such a thing. So, yeah, I mean, whoever Darrell Revis is covering, go deep. And I think it might be, you know, if Chris Hogan is out, and I hope he is, this guy Malcolm Mitchell, they really like him. He got 5 targets last week. He's a big play guy. And I could just see him getting a 60-yard touchdown reception, getting 3 or 4 catches, like just torching the Jets for $3,000 on DraftKings. You know, and obviously Gronk, I love Gronk. He's going to smash. It's funny. I'm rooting against the Jets as a Jets fan here just because, you know, draft pick at this point. Like, what good does a win do me? You know, I've rooted for my team for no reason for too many years. I'm done with that. like, once they're out of it, fuck them. Lose and get a better draft. We need a quarterback. So, you know, on the Jets side of the ball now, all that said, so we like – that's who we like. On. I'm not comfortable with the running game for the Patriots at all. I don't know Jordan White and Deion Lewis. I don't know which guy it's going to be. I know they're going to eventually switch to Deion Lewis, but right now I can't say for sure. So, no, I like – but if you need to be contrarian and go crazy – I suppose because Fitzpatrick is playing, you could consider using Brandon Marshall. I don't know.
I mean, that's Fitzpatrick's go-to guy, you know, so why not? I mean, he basically doesn't look at anybody besides him. So, yeah, I don't mind that in a game that they're definitely going to have to be throwing for sure.
Now, one concern there is Fitzpatrick's thrown, like, what, 3 touchdowns all season? So, how many does he have? I was wrong. I don't want to undercut him. He's got 3, 4, 5. He's got 8 touchdowns on the season, so I undercut him too much. So
those average days you were talking about, yeah.
On an average game for Ryan Fitzpatrick, he throws almost a single touchdown, like 0.7 touchdowns in an average game. This is not a guy that you want. Like, and his pass catchers, like, he's as bad as Goff. He's actually Jared Goff. I think Goff might be better than Fitzpatrick right now.
I used Fitzpatrick in Pittsburgh earlier in the season.
That did not work well either. 13 for 31. Lucky he got the touchdown in there. He actually had decent yardage that game. But 13 for 31, like, really? Against Pittsburgh? It's freaking Pittsburgh. They're not some shutdown defense. I mean, you can't complete 35% of your passes in the National Football League. This guy went, are you ready for this? 3 for 28.
I can't wait.
Against Arizona. Wait. No. What am I looking at? Oh, no. They lost 30. Hold on a second. I'm reading the wrong one.
3 for 28.
Wait, I've never seen such a number. What is this? No. No, I'm sorry. Okay, I was wrong about those numbers. No, it's more like 9 for 14, 6 for 34 at Cleveland. 16 for 34 at Cleveland. Guy's terrible. So could he have a big game? Yes. More likely, he'll butt fumble it or create some sort of moment that Jets fans can remember for history of, like, this ass whooping they took from the Patriots this week. So Patriots defense in play. You know, not my favorite play. They're on the road, but they're certainly in play. Fitzpatrick throws interceptions like they're going out of style. But mainly, we want the Patriots side of the ball because they're going to have to throw a lot, and they love putting up a big number on the Jets. The Patriots are not a team that's going to shut it down against the Jets, like, with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're just going to keep going. They love putting big numbers. Belichick lives for this shit. He does. He really lives for it. He, like, will just keep – you know, they'll be throwing bombs with 2 minutes left up 28 to nothing. They'll be throwing bombs to Gronk. Gronk, if he hasn't smashed – you know, by the fourth. Now, one thing to note about this game is we don't know if Gronk's going to actually play. The whole questionable thing, so we got to see what's going on with him. You don't really know with the Patriots what's going to happen. Most of the time, they don't really tell you in advance, which is difficult. But assuming he doesn't play, I mean, I wish you – it sucks that we probably won't know, because if he wasn't going to play, I would go back to the well with the Martellus Bennett situation.
Right. Yeah, that was quite frustrating for me involved last week. Now, for me, you know, I can see this. See, it's tough. These divisional games, you think, you know, they're going to go one way. You know, we've seen this all year with the NFL. You know, easy matchups, you know, they're just not as easy as they appear. But I feel like Tom Brady will do his thing, get out of East Rutherford and, you know, head back on home to Giselle.
Jets have no answers for this offense. I'm telling you, I've been watching this team all season. They do not have an answer for what Tom Brady's about to bring to the table. They don't. They cannot stop good passing offenses. Their secondary is historically bad. I've personally never watched a team with a secondary this bad. And it's coaching, too. It's not just the players lacking talent. There's a coaching issue in the secondary that needs to be cleared up at some point. And because you can't be this bad by accident. They have good players. They have some quality. Buster Skrine, as much as he's grading as the worst guy, he was, like, good a couple years. Like, this is not a guy who was shit. They have a number one pick as a safety and Calvin Pryor. There's something schematically that's wrong. And the Patriots are going to figure that out. And they're going to exploit it because that's what they do. Like, they're the Patriots. They're going to figure out what the Jets do wrong and exploit it. So, again, mainly – keep an eye on Malcolm Mitchell. If Chris Hogan is out this week, I really like Mitchell for minimum salary to deliver a touchdown, maybe get you
10 plus DraftKings points, maybe even get closer to 20 if he can get that touchdown.
That touchdown he had last week was ridiculous. He was like, Brady wasn't even – I don't even think Brady was throwing to him, or Mitchell wasn't even looking. Still got it. That is Tom Brady, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what they do. But note, even with that, and everybody said it was fluky, that's fine. But he still had 5 targets, 4 receptions, 98 yards. Like, that is a big day for any wide receiver. 5 targets from Tom Brady at a $3,000 guy. You're going to catch 4 of them because it's Tom Brady throwing it to you. So even if he just gets 5 targets, 4 receptions, 55 yards, well, I'll take 10 fantasy points from my $3,000 punt. And there's upside there. But again, all this only if Chris Hogan is not playing.
All right. So Sunday night, I can't sing like Carrie Underwood, but you know, I wasn't going to try. Denver, 3.5-point favorites here at home against Kansas City for a very, very big AFC West divisional battle here. Denver, only minus 185 here on the money line. A very, very underwhelming total of 38.5 in this one. The only overwhelming bet percentage here, 74% of the bets are on the under in this game. Initial total was at 40.5, climbed down 2 points to 38.5. A Sunday night hammer, it will not be. No. You know, both of these teams at the top of their – well, I shouldn't even say at the top of their game because my Bucks went into KC last week and won. But with a total of 38.5, hell, even the opening total of 40.5, not much to be liking here.
You know, you don't get too excited about the sub 40 games, especially a close divisional nasty version of a sub 40 point game. So no, not a lot of goodness here. There are some fantasy considerations. And mainly, I would say that's Denver defense. Denver defense at home, you can't sleep on these guys. They're good. You know, so they're really good at home, and they will, you know, they'll put up a big number against a quality team. That's how good they are defensively. So, I mean, you can't sleep on the Denver defense at home. Outside of that, I'm definitely not looking at the Denver pass catchers with any sort of excitement. I did hear somebody talking about Booker being sort of this contrarian play. It's like no one will be on him, but he'll get a lot of, you know, workload. And it's funny, my eyes don't even see Devonta Booker when I now look through the wide receiver list, the running back list. He's overpriced at 5,600. This is not a great spot. But is it possible that he finally delivers a good game? Of course it's possible. Anything's possible. You know, like it could happen. But if you couldn't do it against New Orleans, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. But still, again, a home game. So Booker is sort of like a GPP contrarian scenario for me. I don't like anything else about this game. So Denver defense, maybe if you wanted to go nuts with something ridiculous. I'm not touching Spencer Ware. You might say, well, Denver's not been that good against the run. Spencer Ware hasn't been that good. So, you know, like he hasn't been that good against anything. So why would I take him? You know, he's not getting enough volume of carries to really bring the kind of value that he needs to make me interested. And at his price, you know, outside of the week 1 game where he did all of his damage basically in the passing game, you know, he's had one or two big games and, you know, and then a lot of disappointing ones. So I'm not down with this on the road in this divisional matchup. It's just going to be ugly. I don't think you need a Sunday night hammer.
Now Marcus Peters, the main cornerback for Kansas City's list is questionable. Even if he does play, he does have that hip pointer, which is kind of a bitchin' injury to deal with. So I don't know, maybe Demaryius Thomas could work in that situation. But yeah, I'm kind of only talking about the primetime slate, and that's still a fadeable game in the primetime slate.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if I'm playing the primetime slate, of course I have to consider all of these people and all of these players, and you have to. I haven't even looked. Like, I mean, I haven't even what's the other game on the primetime? Green Bay?
Green Bay and Philly.
So, I mean, that's also maybe defensive in nature potentially, but certainly I like that one better than this. But, yeah, I mean, in the primetime slate, sure. But as far
I don't mind because, like, one touchdown in a primetime slate, you could basically cash.
I play all the primetime slates. I've been playing them a lot this year, especially if I feel like there's an edge to be found. Like, sometimes there's an edge. There are certain weeks where I just can't feel the edge at all, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have a sense of this. I'm not touching it. And I've always been happy because I've always been wrong on those ones. But if I feel like there's any sort of an edge, where I could fade a player that other people would be on, and I'll give you an example, although it wasn't a primetime. I played the Monday through Thursday kind of Thanksgiving / primetime, I don't know, Monday through Thursday slate this week. And part of the reason I did it was because I was, again, so high on the Cowboys-Redskins game that and I wanted to fade the Mexico game. And when I looked at the end, and I basically mostly faded that game, you know, like I had 4%. When you do 150 lineups, you have exposure to every player or most every player. But so it's about setting exposures. And I set my exposures to these, like the Crabtrees and the Coopers and like DeAndre Hopkins. I had them at like 3% and Crabtree and Cooper under like 7 or 8%. And a lot of these guys wound up 25, 30% owned because – people are just setting exposures. And I was like, you know what? That is going to cause me to make money. Because no matter what I do after this, I sort of avoided a lot of these bombs. Like Crabtree with terrible 30% on DeAndre Hopkins was just ridiculous. 20% only on Amari Cooper, who was the best play of the group. And CJ Fedorowicz actually did okay too in that slate. And that was it. And then Lamar Miller and Latavius Murray, neither one of them did anything special. Miller was actually a good play relative to some of the other players. But, you know, in the end, it worked out really well. So, but I felt confident going in. I was like, yeah, I'm going to fade these guys in favor of something else. So when I play those short slates, I always look for, like, where can I get comfortable fading someone? And if I can figure that out, then I'll get a leg up on the crowd and somehow sort of, that's how you turn a profit in these things. So I haven't looked at this one, but yeah, I mean, if you're playing the Monday, the prime time, you probably have to consider Demaryius Thomas. I don't think I'd use any of the Chiefs wide receivers though.
Yeah. Very, very tough to do. So Macklin's going to be out this week again too. So
that I mean, I don't trust the offense. You know, there's Tyreek Hill and these other names. There's no way I trust them facing Denver. It makes me want to play Denver defense even more. I don't see where Kansas City is going to move the ball all that easily against them. I suppose it's going to be a Kelsey day.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how bad Denver is against tight ends, but
for me, the only thing I think to not go with the Denver defense is, you know, Kansas City, they don't really turn the ball over that much and they don't really have that many.
That's true.
They don't, like, you know, down the field plays that aren't going to produce many opportunities. So you might get your basic 10 points or whatever it is, but yeah, I mean, maybe you get it on sacks and whatnot.
Yeah, they don't turn it over much. That is definitely, definitely true. It's one of the they're not the style of play that's going to turn the ball over. Denver, let's see, versus tight ends, they're good against tight ends too. So it's not even like they have a weakness. They used to be this quote weakness against the tight end position, but they don't have that. They're ranked 6 overall DVOA. They're good versus tight ends. They're ridiculous versus wide receivers. Oh. Number three. Like their rankings are crazy, and you can't throw on these guys. They're going to have to run it. So it's either going to be Spencer Ware or they're probably not going to do anything. I think that's what's going to be. And I'm not using Spencer Ware. That's it for that one.
All right. The grand finale of week 12. The Green Bay Packers head to the city of brotherly love where the Eagles opened up as 3-point favorites. They jumped up 1 to 4 here, minus 185 favorites on the money line, and the over-under is set at 47.5. Not much movement there during the week. Biggest percentage of bets is on the over in this game, 84%. Is at over 47.5. Sure. So, you know, another week of criticizing Aaron Rodgers once again. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with this whole Green Bay team? Things aren't going around or things aren't going so well anywhere with this Green Bay team. But, you know, this week they take on an Eagles team that has been really good at home, specifically their defense. You know, we've seen them go right up against the best. We saw it against, well, I'm not going to mention Cleveland. Don't worry about them. But, you know, that the week three matchup against Pittsburgh, they just took them behind the shed and whooped them. And, you know, just a couple other teams here, too. So, Green Bay, again, not another team, you know, yeah, they can throw the deep ball, but they're getting it done with a lot of short passes. So, Philly definitely comes at you with a lot of different looks at blitzing. And, you know, I think they can get to Rodgers, but, you know, maybe the short passes counteract this. How do you see this one going?
I mean, this is not a good matchup for for the Packers at all. Philly's number one overall. They have the number one overall defense in the league right now, better than Denver, according to their DVOA. They're ranked number one overall against number one wide receivers, not, you know, number four against tight ends. I mean, they have a defense that's really, really good. So I don't know who Rodgers is going to be throwing it to, but, you know, according to their DVOA number, at the very least, probably not going to be Jordy Nelson. I think it's a tough spot for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in general. Sure, they can, you know, Rodgers is a great quarterback, and therefore, you know, he will do stuff and he will complete passes, and somebody's going to do well on this team. I have a decision to make between Davante Adams and Devontae Parker in a season long league. And I'm really, you know, I'm not sure which way to go on that one still, even now, I'm just not sure. Yeah, that's a tough spot. I like the Eagles offense, though. I mean, Green Bay, so Eagles being number one overall defensively against – I'm not touching Aaron Rodgers here. He's not going to have a big game. If he has a good game, that's fine, but he's not going to have a great game. You know, so sure. He's not going to justify his salary. No matter – the chances of that are very, very slim because he'd need to put up 28-plus points to really justify the salary. And I mean, it could happen, but again, Philly's number one overall. For the Eagles, look at this offense. I mean, they're really tough to take any players from too. Like, who are they throwing to? Nelson Aguilar has now admitted that he sucks at football, and he's not gonna, you know, like he's finally like, oh, I don't get it. What he said the other day is akin to Revis talking about how he's getting old and his body just can't do it anymore. Like, what? Shut up. Why are you saying this? Like, even if you think
stop
it.
Stop talking.
Like, Aguilar is basically like, yeah, mentally I don't have it all together right now. Like, why are you sharing that? Why would you tell people that? I already knew that you sucked, and now you're telling me that you're making excuses for it? Like, are you kidding? So, Jordan Matthews, Zach Ertz, who's he going to throw to? Matthews has been a targets machine. The last few weeks, have you seen the numbers? 15. 10, 10, 10, the last 4 weeks. They've turned him into a targets machine, and that's going up against tough defenses. I think it's Seattle, Atlanta, not so great. Now, he hasn't really translated those targets to big numbers, and Carson Wentz is not like a polished quarterback yet, so I'm sure it's going to be sloppy. But, I mean, who? Darrell Green Beckham maybe? I mean, who's the other guy? You know, if you're playing that short slate, I'm certainly using Darrell Green Beckham in the short slate.
Right.
I mean, he got eight targets. He's 3,000. He's very, very cheap. Now, if I were just the fact that we're talking about this game, you know, the main slate doesn't cover it. So most people who are playing this are either, you know, doing like a prime time or some shorter slate or something like that. So right. That's why I'm kind of looking at some of these obscure names on this team. So it's basically Green Beckham and Jordan Matthews for the Eagles as potential, you know, wide receiver plays. At running back, it's crazy. I mean, Darren Sproles is the most expensive guy in this grouping at 4,500. D-Ron. I don't love Darren Sproles here. Ryan Matthews is out. They're talking about Wendell Smallwood taking over. He got Wendell Smallwood came in when Matthews went out. He got a bunch of attempts last week. So maybe – wow, they jacked up his salary too pretty intensely. So Wendell Smallwood's going to be like this under-the-radar guy. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I do know that Wendell Smallwood was the most popular ad in season-long – leagues this week. And I don't know. You know, it's weird because Philly, you know, when they're rolling, they come at you with four running backs. They'll even throw Kenyon Barner in the mix. But I don't think that Matthews is going to play because I think he had like a knee brace on after, you know, the
No, Ryan Matthews is going to be out. He's not practiced all week. He's going to be out.
So, I mean, now they said Sproles has like a – I think it was a fractured rib, but it's something, you know, that he could definitely play with. I mean, I love this guy coming out of training camp because that's – this is basically who the offense was supposed to be tailored around in a weird way because I know Doug Peterson comes from that Kansas City style of play where they throw a lot of screen passes. And it's weird because, you know, Sproles' biggest game of the season came against Pittsburgh, and that was on a broken play. You know, so they have the plays for him. It's just that he hasn't necessarily broken them. I mean, what a better time to use them than against the Green Bay defense. I mean, so we've seen it with them. You know, like you start beating up on this Packers team, they just quit on you. So, you know, Kelly, the undrafted rookie running back for the Redskins, he had three touchdowns last week, had some, you know, had that huge run in garbage time. I think Sproles could end up being the guy. I mean,
he's known as Fat Rob.
Fat Rob. That's
Fat Rob.
Right.
Only Fat Rob.
He called himself that.
He called himself Fat Rob. I love that name.
I do like Sproles, you know, and it should be his time finally to get. And that's another incredibly ridiculous thing with Doug Peterson where, you know, we heard all week before Steph Curry just missed the dunk.
He's being distracted by basketball.
That whole week leading up to the Falcons game, we were led to believe that, yep, Darren Sproles, he's starting. And then, you know, we all know what happened with Ryan Matthews. So, you know, if Wendell Smallwood's getting all this smoke blown up around him, then why are we going to believe that? You know, like I'm more apt to believe that it would be Sproles or – and again, like even a guy like Kenyon Barner, who's somewhat decent. I mean,
can you imagine if everybody jumps on Smallwood this week and everybody's like, oh, I'm going to play Smallwood. And I do think Sproles, you know – I've never called him on the right week. I don't think ever. So I'm not using him. But can you imagine if everybody gets on Wendell Smallwood and then it becomes Kenyon Barner that actually ends up being the guy? That would be so messed up. Like
on like a level of being surprised, I'd be like a four, you know, because that's how it's been all season with the Eagles. So
what an ugly in the primetime slate. You could not get an uglier running back situation than what we have going on. Like, you know, you're going to play Spencer Ware. Basically, you're going to have to go in all in on – I mean, this takes away any edge because you're either going to have to make a decision like Devontae Booker, probably all in on
him.
Like just because he's at home and he's the only guy who's a real running back that is in a home game and it's going to get a full workload with no competition. Then you have Spencer Ware and you're kind of like, ugh. A game at Denver, do I really want to spend up for a guy like Spencer Ware? Probably not. Yep. But then who are you using, Wendell Smallwood or Darren Sproles? Sproles will get you three. No problem. And he'll slap it on you and make you shake his hand afterwards and say thank you for it. Like that's what Sproles will do to you. Like he will just destroy you. And so it's a disaster when he doesn't do anything. And Wendell Smallwood, I'm telling you, it'll be Kenyon Barner, who's the nuts player, in the end of the day. And you're like, you hadn't heard a thing about him all week. And, you know, he'll just come out of the blue. So it's a very tough running back situation for this primetime slate if you play it. And and there's no real stud wide receivers even, so you can afford any one of them. It's going to be interesting. That is an interesting thing, the way that's going to go down. We'll see how that winds up.
Yeah, I think you'll have plenty of money for Aaron Rodgers, and you know,
but who wants it? Do you want to pay for Aaron Rodgers against the number one defense in the league?
In the prime time slate, I mean,
who else are you going to play? Wentz. I mean, if you're making a decision between Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Trevor, like the guy from Denver, or like Alex Smith. I mean, like. What a shit show. I actually now I'm thinking I don't want to play this fucking slate. If I have to choose
these – You can play him and fade him all over the joint.
Who am I going to play? Who do you play? Which quarterback is good out of this group? There's not one. I mean, like not one of them is – I'm going to have to play the guy from from Denver. I'm gonna have to play Trevor Siemian,
right?
Because like he's at home and the defense he's facing ain't that good. Or I'll have to play Has Carson Wentz had a good game? Let's see what Carson Wentz. Yeah, I guess not so good.
You know, interestingly enough, I had Sproles across the board that week against the Steelers, but I saw the game flow going totally different than it did. I saw the Eagles playing from behind all game. And him just catching a bunch of check down passes. But I'll take the way it played out. He actually, his first touch of that game against the Steelers, he almost broke it for a touchdown. He got tripped up at like the 15, and then he broke the one later in the game on that broken play. What a day. I don't think I've had a good week since.
Really?
I used all the good juju on Sproles. But yeah, I mean, with me playing one lineup, you know, it's boom or bust for me every week. And I shouldn't say it's not one lineup because I'll do different slates a lot too. So it's just one lineup in each slate.
Yeah, that's tough. I definitely would do more than one, but I get it. You know, if you're going to play one lineup, you really should like – I always have a good time, and it's something I'm going to talk about on the next pod that we do, but I always have a good time like agonizing over a single lineup, like a cash lineup. You sit and you go back and forth, and we've done a little bit of that in the channel on Slack that I have. Myself and Hunter a lot of times we'll kind of go back and forth and talk about you know, a cash lineup and like kind of agonizing over individual players, and that's a fun way to approach DFS also. Like, you know, yeah, there's so many different approaches to it. When I mass multi-enter, it's your mindset is so different. And you mentioned something before that's true. I purposefully throw away money on lineups in those because you have to go away from the best plays in order to get differentiated. Like to win a GPP, especially in the small slate, like you've got to have Taylor Gabriel in your lineup when he catches the one pass for the 80-yard touchdown. Like if you don't have him, he's the nuts. On Thursday slate, it was Anquan Boldin. If you didn't have Anquan Boldin, you did not win the contest, period. Like we all had exposure to all these other guys. But if you didn't have Anquan Boldin, that low-owned or that obscure player that comes out of nowhere and puts up a massive point total, you have to have that. So mass multi-entering, totally different than even what I call hybrid entering, which is my favorite way to play. We make what I call cash lineups, but a lot stacked and built for upside, but all with the floor in mind. You know, I don't go wacky with the picks. Like, I just don't do that. Or certainly agonizing over a single cash lineup, which is what I do when I put a high dollar amount contest in. And by the way, I'll need your help. I have a major – I want a ticket to a $400 entry NBA contest in a few days. And you know, NBA is not my thing. I know nothing, so
I need a little bit of – I got you.
We'll have to talk some chalk plays. I like to keep it chalky.
All right. We can do that.
Yeah, sounds good. That's coming up in a few days. So I think that's it. We got through the Vegas lines here. This was like almost like writing the column. It took so long, but hopefully everybody enjoyed it and get ready for the games this weekend. What do you say?
Indeed, indeed. Looking forward to it. All right. So also, if you want to follow both of us on Twitter, I'm there at 14a.walsh is where you can find me. And then you can find Kevin there, F Football Geek. And tons of great stuff, man.
Awesome. Good talking to you today, and good luck this weekend. Indeed. And let's kick some ass. Let's make some money, everybody.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you later. Peace.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code
Podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.